Hollywood is under siege, covertly compromised by a global adversary. The same Hollywood that sold the American dream to the world is now making nightmares a reality. The American way of life is being censored by the Chinese Communist Party. Some films have scenes completely altered. Other films have lost their funding or been canceled altogether. Some actors have been banned from China for supporting human rights. Hollywood Takeover is a documentary brought to you by the Epoch Times, revealing how the CCP has infiltrated major movie studios. Join Chris Fenton, a former Hollywood executive, and Tiffany Meyer, an investigative news reporter, through their journey in exposing how the film industry gradually lost its integrity on its path to profits. Don't miss the most important documentary ever made about Hollywood. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/Tim. That's HollywoodTakeover.com/TIM.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's a good day. Kyle Rittenhouse found not guilty on all counts. When the verdict came in, I actually posted this on Twitter. I have the smartwatch. It tracks my heart rate every hour. The hour before they announced the verdict, my heart rate was 51 beats per minute. As soon as I saw that first tweet from the reporter, the verdict is in and will be announced within the hour, you can see on my watch it goes 136 straight up. I was like, I'm glued to the screen. It came in. Look, the joke I made, I was like, I was sweating bullets waiting for the verdict. Kyle must have been sweating 50 BMG. And when the verdict was read, not guilty, not guilty, not guilty, not guilty. Kyle falls to the ground. He's crying. They pick him up. His lawyer's going like this, probably saying like, breathe, breathe in, breathe out. And it was just an explosion of celebration across the board. Of course, I have a lot of Facebook friends who are lefty. And now I can tell you exactly why there should have been a mistrial with prejudice. Although maybe a not guilty verdict across the board is still better. Many people are running with the narrative from the prosecution. And of course, they're claiming, you know, racism or whatever. And we'll get into all that stuff. We do have a lot more stories. The Democrats, or at least Jerry Nadler, wants a DOJ. He wants DOJ involvement, potential federal charges, because these people don't care about justice. But we do. So this is the show about Kyle Rittenhouse being not guilty. And we're all going to talk about this and a bunch of other stories. We got some media criticism here. The New York Times covering up the Kenosha riots and a breaking story after a former reporter came out and explained how the story was sidelined because it actually showed the country what was happening with these riots. So to join us in talking about all of this, we've got Blair White and Chris Williamson. You guys, whoever wants to introduce himself first.
Hi, I'm Blair White. I'm a YouTuber. I'm on Instagram and Twitter as well. You can follow me on there. My at is MS Blair White. There's an E at the end of Blair. And I'm feeling very white-pilled with the news today of the verdict. Very excited to be here.
I walked outside just right after the verdict, and I was like looking at the sky, and I'm like, wow.
Yeah, I got emotional a little bit. I was like, oh, okay.
This is good. Wow, good day. Well, so what's up, man?
Good. Good to be here, man. The British have arrived.
Yeah, that's right.
Chris Williamson, Modern Wisdom Podcast, at Chris Will X on Twitter and Instagram, and search Chris Williamson on YouTube. I'm excited to be here.
And Chris is sitting right next to me and learning about the power of the chat room.
Bro,
he's
I
very
love
entertained.
This.
He's laughing just like I'm laughing. I appreciate you guys. And I know it's a bit early, but I figured out who I'm voting for in 2024. And it is Mr. Brandon. And if you also are going to be voting for Mr. Brandon in 2024, you could promote that fact by getting the t-shirt that I'm wearing right now, promoting that idea on thebestpoliticalshirts.com. With your support, I'm here. And boy, do we have a lot to discuss. I'm so happy to be here. Let's get right into it.
I agree, man. I had an emotional day as well. Seeing Kyle go through what he went through when they read the verdict was almost like reverse traumatic. I don't know how to describe it, but I had tears. Yeah. I didn't full on start crying, but yeah, I had like happiness, but sadness at the whole thing. It's just been such a horrible, you know, but also display of justice and like very interesting.
I had family members being like, I'm literally crying.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I'm like, dude, yeah. For me, I was laughing. I was just shocked. My heart rate was through the roof. We got Liddy pressing all the buttons.
I am also here. And I was going to say when I was watching Kyle tear up for himself and collapse, I definitely teared up a little bit because he's so young, and to go through such a hard thing is just really kind of heartrending. But I'm stoked to talk about it, and I'm so glad he's innocent on all counts.
Don't forget, go to timcast.com, become a member, because we've been covering the news, and we got big news now about what the next moves are going to be. But we got the breaking news. We've got story about a really brutal story about Fauci and maximum pain experiments that were that he was funding through the NIAID on primates. It's horrifying, and I can't even show the images of the stuff. But as a member, you're helping support all that stuff and the hard work we do, as well as this show. So, you know, outside of our direct sponsors, becoming a member is the best way to support us. And I think we have a new episode of the Green Room vlog up on Fridays. So I think that's Alex Jones and Ben Stewart hanging out, and you can see us in the studio. So definitely check that out. But don't forget, like the video right now. Smash that like button. Subscribe to this channel. Share the show with your friends. And let's get into the first story, the big story, what everybody already knows, and we're going to say anyway. Kyle Rittenhouse found not guilty on all charges. The motion of the defendant is granted. The charges against the defendant on all counts are dismissed with prejudice, and he is released from the obligation of his bond. The first charge, Joseph Rosenbaum. Second, Richard McGinnis. Third, the unknown male. Fourth, Anthony Huber. And the fifth, Gage Grosskreutz. And I want to say something very important. On all of these charges, one of those individuals is a good friend of the show, is a good friend of all of us here, and that's Richie McGinnis. They call him Richard. Richie McGinnis ran into danger. Kyle Rittenhouse was defending himself. The whole situation, in my opinion, is tragic, and it shouldn't have happened. The police should have been protecting this community. It shouldn't have been a 17-year-old going out there feeling like he had to do this. But when it came to Richie, I mean, we're worried about him. You know, we're friends with this guy, and the whole situation is scary. But I will say this. Not for one second do I believe that Kyle Rittenhouse should have been found guilty on the charge of endangering Richie McGinnis. I don't know how Richie feels. You know, that's his private business. And as someone we deeply care about, we are concerned for his safety. But based on what I saw that night, I think not guilty was the right charge. I don't know how you guys feel about all this stuff. You know, for Richie, it's personal. We've had him on the show several times. He was a witness. He rendered aid to Joseph Rosenbaum, but not guilty was the way to go.
Yeah, I'm feeling very optimistic as a result of this verdict, because one of the few things that has kept me sane for the past year and a half, where we're in a situation now you have to undergo, you know, medical procedures to participate in society in some parts of this country. The government's coming closer and closer to your door, like chaos, cities burning, whatever. One of the very few things that's kept me sane is the basic concept that I can defend my own self, right? Like no matter what, if I have a firearm, I can defend myself, my family, my dog, etc. So this verdict reinforces that Americans still do have that right, even though there are many forces trying to take it.
It's scary because what was on trial. So this is winning the battle, but not the war. What was on trial first and foremost was the life of Kyle Rittenhouse. What they don't tell you when the media lies is that he rendered aid to protesters. He didn't go there as an ideologue. He went there and he was like, does anybody need help? And he rendered aid, I think, to two people. And then he got attacked. The greater picture here was our right to defend our communities and ourselves from violent riots and extremists. And the crazy thing is now a lot of these leftists are saying this is the Kyle Rittenhouse precedent, that right wingers will be showing up with weapons now at these protests. And it's like, well, hold on there a minute. I'm not a fan of this because, you know, the creating conflict. But what they're really saying is, if you frame it properly, is that when these extremists go to riot, destroy and kill people, regular members of the community might come out and stop them. Is that the precedent they're talking about? Now, I hope the conflict doesn't stop. What happened in Kenosha that night should have never happened. But I blame the institutions first and foremost that were supposed to be protecting these communities.
Yes.
It's a difficult situation. I'll put it this way. I think the whole thing was a net negative. If Rosenbaum stayed in jail for the atrocities he committed, Kyle Rittenhouse would not have been in that position. And Kyle Rittenhouse shouldn't have been there. And that's not an indictment on his decisions. It's an indictment on everything that happened in Kenosha.
Yeah. That's why I keep saying he shouldn't have been there, but no one should have been there. And the police should have been protecting the city. And it's only a logical conclusion to the situation that there would be vigilante justice occurring when the police literally are standing down as buildings are burning and people are being hurt.
Man, the defense attorney was asked after the trial finished, what does he want to do now? What does Rittenhouse want to do now? And all he had to say was, he just wants to become a nurse. That's
a nurse.
Thing. A nurse.
Wow, I didn't know that. Wow.
Wants
He's
to become
paramedic,
a nurse.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that was what he was doing on the night.
Yeah. This is
but did he said nurse? Or did he say EMT?
He could have been either of those. I think it was nurse.
Different.
I'm pretty sure it was nurse.
If he said nurse, that means like he wants to work in a hospital and help sick people. You
yeah.
know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Good for him.
Wow.
And that's what he was doing on that night.
Yeah.
It was. And he had some training. He wasn't an official EMT. He was 17. But it's remarkable. I'll say this. There should have been a mistrial with prejudice. But I don't know if that actually would have solved anything. The reason I think there should have been a mistrial with prejudice is because the judge should have directly addressed the drone video that was manipulated multiple times.
Yes.
Because now what I'm seeing on Facebook from a lot of people I know who are like hard left, You've got the establishment lied to left. These are people who are like, you know, Rittenhouse traveled across state lines with a gun, which is just not true. But then you have the, like, the intelligentsia left. And what they're saying is, well, even though we know he did not travel across state lines, he was in the act of committing a crime, and therefore it can't be self-defense. Then when the judge dismissed the gun charge, they said, well, as we now know, the prosecution has proven he pointed that weapon at people, provoking them first. Now the narrative has become, what I see is they're taking news articles where it says the prosecution played a video that they said showed Kyle Rittenhouse pointing the gun at protesters. They circle it in red and they're posting it in bold and they're saying Kyle Rittenhouse was waving a gun around threatening people. And when they tried to stop him, he attacked them. And the judge said that was self-defense and the jury let him go because it's racism and patriarchy and whatever. If the judge said this video footage is not real and we're throwing it out, that narrative wouldn't have happened. What we needed was a clean, honest victory, that it was a bad night all across the board for everybody. It shouldn't have happened. But Kyle Rittenhouse is not responsible for what happened.
Right.
So there's a lot of ramifications. I mean, obviously, a lot was weighing on this particular trial. A lot of people were very politically invested on it. But even without the bigger picture, Gross Court's lawsuit looks like it's dead in the water.
He wanted, what, $10 million?
So that's right. Also another important aspect here. There's a lot of witnesses that lied on the stand and might be facing perjury charges. There's talk about disbarring the state prosecutors for clearly pushing witnesses to lie on the stand.
Withholding
and
evidence
their statements,
twice.
Withholding evidence. And again, this wasn't a snap decision. I think this played off. I mean, a lot of people were worried about this coming out Friday because of the fears of riots, the fears of civil unrest. But I think that fear was highly manipulated. I think there was a huge aspect of it that was artificial, because if the media does one thing great, it's not reporting. It's literally amping up the fear of harassment in order to bully people to get the outcome that they want. So another bigger thing to kind of examine here is that the media absolutely failed at their larger objective, which they were harassing people in order to push to get. So that's another big aspect here. The jury took 4 days, deliberated, and it was 12 people, a jury of his peers, people who represented him and were in his community, that said not guilty on all counts. And you know, there's people still angry. There's people still lying. There's still people. There's still major media organizations saying that this was black people that were killed. MSNBC. NBC was trying to make this a race issue in their byline, talking about how this is an example of white juries.
NBC, yeah. MSNBC, was caught attempting to jury tamper.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, crazy.
So this is a huge realization of how this harassment campaign didn't work. I don't think there's going to be as much civil unrest as people are predicting there to be, because that prediction was used as a tool to get their outcome. It didn't work. That's a big story.
It's almost like a threat.
Huge. Exactly. That threat didn't work by the media.
But let's be real. Time is our most precious commodity. And I've heard from so many of my listeners who have asked for my advice about how they can spend it wisely to improve themselves and the people around them. That's why I'm excited that Hillsdale College is offering more than 40 free online courses in the most important and enduring subject. You can learn about the works of C.S. Lewis, the stories in the Book of Genesis, the meaning of the U.S. Constitution, the rise and fall of the Roman Republic, or the history of the ancient Christian church with Hillsdale College's online courses, all available for free. That's right, free. I personally recommend you sign up for Constitution 101, the meaning and history of the U.S. Constitution. In this 12-lecture course, you'll explore the design and purpose of the Constitution, the challenges it faced during the Civil War, and how it was undermined for more than a century by progressivism and liberalism. The course is self-paced so that you can start whenever and wherever. Enroll now in Constitution 101. Our country needs more Americans who understand the Constitution and can defend the freedom of the American people against the encroachments of an increasingly large and unaccountable government. Go right now to hillsdale.edu/Tim to enroll. There's no cost and it's easy to get started. That's hillsdale.edu/Tim to register. Hillsdale.edu/Tim. These activists they're fair weather activists. You know, I covered a lot of these riots on the ground for years. You ask any one of the riot squad or Drew or Richie McGinnis or Jorge, and they'll tell you, like, if it's too cold out, No riots, no protests. If it's raining, no protests. It's got to be the right temperature for people to go out. And that's why when it comes to this beat and when it comes to knowing the cycle, everyone's like, it's summer. Summer means riots, but winter means nothing. Granted, it's a Friday. They waited till a Friday. So that means...
But it's like 30 degrees, I think, up there.
Right.
28 degrees or something.
Right. But it means payday, Saturday, and Sunday. So who knows what will happen tomorrow.
I got to say, I am so white-pilled, I guess, about independent on-the-ground journalists.
Yes.
Bro.
Yes.
These people are essentially saving the union. I mean, but even with George Floyd, being able to see what happened, I mean, that, you know, however you feel about the way that went, just that they were there. Some random person was there to pull it up and record it. But I mean, geez, these guys, Richie, he put himself like in the way of,
he put himself anything that could danger.
Happened. Yeah, big time.
And the crazy thing is they charged Kyle over it. When Richie said on our show something to the effect of running towards danger and being stupid about it, it was like self-deprecating humor. He didn't mean he was an idiot, but it was like, you got to be crazy to run into danger. And the defense said this. You can't blame Kyle Rittenhouse because a journalist ran towards the danger. It's their job. They know the risks. I agree with that.
Yeah.
And Richie was smart. And the most important point, after Kyle Rittenhouse did fire on Rosenbaum in self-defense.
We have a guest.
We have a guest.
Oh, nice.
No, after, did you hit that?
Yeah, I swatted. After Kyle.
Yes, there you go.
Fired in self-defense. Richie didn't run from Kyle because he knew what was going on.
Right.
So, again, I'm very grateful that Richie's all right because he's a good friend of ours and we love him. But I don't think you can condemn, you know, Kyle for Richie doing his job. I think Richie knows.
But this shows the importance of independent media.
Yes.
I mean, precisely. If it wasn't for independent media, this trial would look totally different. Mm. The narrative would be totally different. And the media lied every step of the way here to absolutely absurd points. Chris, you had something to say. I want to pull something up and I want to add to it really quickly, but go ahead.
Yeah, I just think that it's a bad situation, right? This hasn't been a tremendously good situation for anybody that's been involved in this. But one thing that everyone can be reassured by is the impact that independent media's had.
Yes.
Yeah. And then when you look at independent media, you compare it to the corporate media. They talked about how he crossed state lines with a firearm. They talked about how he was an active shooter. They talked about how he was illegally carrying a weapon. He talked about how he was there to murder protesters. They talked about how he was a white supremacist, how he killed innocent protesters, how he fled the crime scene, how he had no right to be there. All of that after this court proceeding is absolutely not true at all. And they are going to be facing some significant ramifications because, again, we have a legal system that protects individuals from being lied about as drastically. We saw it with the Covington kids. And Nick Sandman actually came out and said, I hope Kyle sues. He said this a couple days ago. He says he has a great case. Now, with this verdict, I mean, I would be shaking in the boots if I was a prostitute, a part of the horse stream media that sold the American people these much lies about this particular case, because all of that is being opened up like a can of worms, and they're going to have to face the reality that they created with their monstrosity of lies.
It's still happening. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's still happening.
Yep.
And I want to show you a highlight, but I want to end this segment real quick with one thought. How where were you when the news started coming in? Where was everybody? I mean this rhetorically, but for those that are watching, and what were you feeling as you waited for that verdict? I want to show you this. I mentioned it in the intro, just as the end of it, to wrap this up. I'm wearing my smartwatch. This is what it looks like. Just before the verdict came in, I'm sitting here working. I've got the live stream going. You can see my heart rate at 51 beats per minute. And then within the hour, they announced that there was going to be a verdict, and my heart rate spiked to 136. I'm sitting here, adrenaline rushing, watching it. The camera shook, and I was like, here we go. And then a few minutes later, the camera zooms out, and I'm like, they're coming in. We have the verdict. Just before when they started reading it, I was nervous, man. And, you know, I saw this on my watch when I was checking it, and I was like, I should post this. I don't know how everybody else felt, but I was like, this was my experience. And then I saw a lot of people say, dude, me too. Sweaty palms, was nervous, was shaking, and a lot of people felt that way, and then it came out as a good day for America. But yes, winning the battle, the war is not over. Let me show you this tweet. We have this from Will Kane. Wait till you see this. He says the lies never stop. In the first tweet, if you can see it, it's the Independent. It says, Kyle Rittenhouse cleared of murder after shooting dead two Black Lives Matter protesters. Full story. T Teenager who shot three black men with a rifle found not guilty on all charges.
Sick.
Absolutely not true.
They have to know.
Isn't it crazy?
Absolutely insane. And I think I said this last time that almost every progressive I know, which believe it or not, I have a lot of progressive friends, almost all of them are under the misconception that the people who died were black, mm-hmm. that they were innocent protesters. And even as of a few hours ago, I tweeted something positive about Rittenhouse. I forget exactly what I said, but a lot of the replies were from my more liberal supporters who were like, wait, is this true that one of them was a pedophile? How do you not know that at this point in
doesn't,
the case?
Doesn't but that teach
it's
us?
Because of this.
It teaches us just how poorly people are getting themselves involved in the details of this case.
Mm-hmm. But most everyone people, has an opinion.
Oh yeah, everybody's got an opinion, but almost no one is actually taking the time to look at the details of the case.
Because mm-hmm. people would rather just be lied to by the corporate media, and I love that we talked about how this is such a win for the simple fact that it's such a loss for corporate media.
Yes.
And it's, I think it's waking people up, this particular case.
So there's more. In Will Cain's tweet, he also has this tweet from the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee.
Yeah.
This is the organization that helps give money to Democrats running for Congress who and they said it's disgusting and disturbing that someone was able to carry a loaded assault rifle into a protest against the unjust killing of Jacob Blake. First of all, there was no assault rifle.
Hmm.
And a lot of people are like, stop. You know what really bugs me is when the gun 2A people say there's no such thing as an assault rifle. Stop. There is. Select fire rifle. That's typically what it refers to, and most people understand that. But we have to use definitions properly. The left has assault rifle to mean rifle. It's meaningless.
Yeah.
So I'm going to use the correct definition. There was not a single person with an assault rifle. But more importantly, Jacob Blake's not dead.
Right. Exactly.
He's alive.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah, he's partially paralyzed. And so they said unjust killing.
Mm-hmm.
That's the Democrats putting out their message. They have no idea what's going on in this world.
Or they know and they're willfully ignorant.
This they corrected it. Mm-hmm. They corrected it after the fact saying, oopsie, here's the corrected email.
They have no idea what's going on, but they're so comfortable fanning the flames of what's going on, which is so sick because people forget the context in which the Rittenhouse situation even happened. It was because buildings were on fire. People were being hurt. The police were standing down.
Mm-hmm.
Like, vigilante justice is only bound to pop up when that situation arises. Like, people have, and I was talking about this earlier, I feel like people have almost like blind spots when it comes to remembering 2020. Mm-hmm. I think there was some sort of collective trauma that happened to people. People forget how bad it was. It was terrible, and people were terrified.
Can I show you guys a story from the night in question? On August 25th, 2020, when all this was going down and the chaos and the riots and everything that happened, mm-hmm. we have another story. It's from the New York Post, August 26th, 2020. This is, I'm assuming that this story is about August 25th, considering it was published the following day, but it may have actually been from before and been what one of the things that Kyle Rittenhouse saw. So this will be a sort of correction. I'm not entirely sure, but I said before that I thought videos like this inspired the people who went out there with guns. From the New York Post, elderly man defending store during Kenosha riots has jaw broken. I mean, that's the gist of the story. I can't show you the images. It's graphic and horrifying.
Hmm.
An elderly man watching his store be ransacked and burned to the ground. And he's got a fire extinguisher spraying at the door and at people. And someone runs up and cracks him in the side of the head with a rock, dropping
disgusting.
Him. This elderly man laying on the ground, disoriented, unconscious, bleeding from the face. And then some other people run up and try and render aid. I can't imagine what it must be like for the people of Kenosha to know this happened.
Yeah.
And to have had this trial. But I will say, there are videos that have been going around where people are filming random cars and the cars stop and they'll be like, hey, like, what do you think about what happened? And they're like, Kyle won. Like, this is a good day. And they're cheering for him. And, like, he was defending himself. The people of Kenosha, I think, know what it means when people are destroying your town. And they know what went down that night. And they know who Kyle was. And I mean that figuratively, not literally knew he was, but they knew what kind of kid he was and what kind of town they had. And I think the people of Kenosha overwhelmingly were in support of him.
It was disproportionately minorities as well that were harmed by all of the fires and all the rioting and the looting.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. It yep. was it was a poor multiracial community. And that's the same thing that happened in Ferguson.
Yes.
So it's crazy, isn't it?
Kyle Rittenhouse is the worst white supremacist ever.
That's true.
Just shoots white people.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's the narrative is just insane that they persist. I have friends. I've lost friends over this. They're not responding to me.
Hmm.
I've had friends for years, and I see them posting about Kyle Rittenhouse, and they're saying really awful things, comparing him to Charles Manson. And I send a message, and I'm just like calm and passionately like, you know, hey, what's up? what's going on? Did you watch the trial? Do you know what's happening? And they just ignore me outright.
What do you think it is about this?
Well, I think what happens is when I post something like Kyle Rittenhouse is the clearest case of self-defense I've ever seen. And that's a quote from Destiny, who was a left-wing streamer. But he's correct. He was correct the whole time. He got in trouble. Twitch just like banned him from the professional program, whatever it's called. I post things like that. What do you think happens then when I have friends who are trapped in the Matrix and they hear from the Independent a white supremacist cross state lines with an assault rifle to hunt down or kill Black Lives Matter protesters? They see me post it was self-defense or that Rittenhouse should be not guilty. And they're thinking, I can't believe my good friend is now supporting overt white supremacists who are murdering people. Yeah. What's happened to this country? But they just don't know because they're trapped in the Matrix. But I can't even. And this is where the problem is. Politics flows in one direction. I message them like, let's talk. And they say, no. I'm willing to say, I need you to see the truth. But they don't want to do it. They like where they live. They like the hate.
Yeah.
It's tough to shatter people out of the Matrix through text. Never really works.
Well, they don't see anything else but the corporate media. So when you have the same trash regurgitated to you, repeated after one lie and another lie and another lie, You build this huge foundation that has absolutely no merit in reality, and it's being propagated not just by the corporate media, not just the people who pull the strings of the corporate media, but also the puppets of the people who pull the strings. Of course, that's politicians like Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris just came out with a statement about this entire situation, and she said, quote, "This verdict really speaks for itself. As many of you know, I spent a majority of my career working to make the justice system more equitable, and clearly there is a lot more work to do." And I'm like, B, you put innocent people behind bars.
And bailed out the rioters. And bailed out the rioters.
Yeah, not only bailed out the rioters, not only called for criminals to be let out of jail, but knew that she had evidence that someone was innocent, and she still decided to vindictively hold that person in jail for over 2 years. Nonviolent drug offenses.
She
put people behind bars. There's a mosaic collage of all the black people she put in jail.
That's great.
I will not sit here and listen to you besmirch Kamala Harris,
our president.
Our president.
She
did not just, for no reason, keep people who are innocent behind bars. She needed them to work as slaves to put out fire for $1 an hour. Kamala Harris kept people in prison, denying their parole, so that she could use them for cheap labor to fight wildfires.
Yep. Is this
that woman is beyond despicable. That is an atrocity to commit against another human being.
I was kidding,
by the way. Luke is correct.
Is it confirmed that was her intent? Or is this just like kind of people are like assuming evidence?
It's her intent. So it was someone in her office who said it. At first, a lot of people were saying she kept innocent people in prison beyond their term to use as cheap labor. The full story is people were up for parole, and her office's position was do not grant them parole. Yeah. We need slave labor to fight wildfires.
Yeah, and there's so many instances. There's one. There's an article in LA Weekly that's titled "Daniel Larson's an innocent man, says federal judge. So why is he still in prison? He was in prison because of Kamala Harris saying, I want a clean, pristine record. Most of these state prosecutors are sociopaths who rather have a clean victory, who rather, of course, have a win column rather than do the right thing. There's so many innocent people that have been thrown in jail because of overzealous, insane, psychopathic state prosecutors. And I think there's a big argument to make here about our current vice president being one before with her track record, which is absolutely atrocious.
But did she make this statement while she was president for 2 hours today when Biden was getting his butt played with, or what happened?
Well, Biden also came out with kind of contradicting statements. So he was doing, whatever he got done to him up, whatever.
Well,
also probably had some kind of effect because he was flip-flopping like crazy.
Oh, really?
There's I do want to do a longer discussion on this because I have some tweets about it, but I want to add to this. There is something deeply wrong in this country when you have to agree with injustice to placate one political faction.
Mm-hmm.
It should be clear. Kyle Rittenhouse acted in self-defense, and we all knew it. We've had on the show 7 witnesses from various moments on that night. Some direct witnesses, Richie McGinnis himself, who is named in the complaint, who rendered aid to Rosenbaum, has been on this show more than once. And many other people who were there that night, and they told us what happened, and they showed us the video, and we all said, have you seen the price of gold lately? It's hitting all-time highs. And when it comes to investing in gold, check out Noble Gold Investments. They have a track record of excellence that's second to none. Just look at their thousands of five-star reviews on Trustpilot, Google, and the Better Business Bureau. Customers rave about their knowledgeable staff, smooth investment process, and life-changing results, which you can see for yourself online. That's the kind of reputation you can count on. But it's not just about the reviews. Noble Gold Investments truly care about their clients. They take the time to understand your unique needs and goals, and they give expert guidance every step of the way. That level of personalized service is rare in this industry. Look, when it comes to securing your financial future, you can't afford to take chances. Go with the gold company that has earned the trust of countless investors. Visit noblegoldinvestments.com/timpool today and discover why Noble Gold Investments is the only choice for smart, secure gold investments. Or give them a call at 877-646-5347. Again, that number is 877-646-5347. Looks like self-defense. But now, because there are people who are lied to.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah. Sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Or just don't care. The president, the vice president, ACLU, and all these institutions say, well, we need the support, so just lie to them.
Yeah. The verdict's only surprising if you've only been watching the corporate media spin, but the reaction hasn't surprised anybody. Yeah. Everyone knew that this was primed to just go off.
That's the problem, though, is that the video of what transpired that night has been available for over a year. Mm-hmm. And there are so many people that were so comfortable having this opinion, having never watched it, because if you do watch it, in my opinion, you can't walk away with any other determination other than, yeah, this kid was defending himself. Bad situation, but he was defending himself. I mean, you have Anna Kasparian of the Young Turks over a year after it happened finally saying, oh, yeah, by the way, woke up today, watched a video. I think he did nothing wrong. It's like, really, after a year of you slandering him.
Yep. But that's what all of these networks do. It's the craziest thing. That's why they're like Tim Pool's right wing. No, the difference between you and me is that I read and I fact check.
Right.
But let's talk about you know what? I'll cut them some slack. They have a very serious problem in independent left wing spaces, and it's that they blindly trust mainstream media. You ready for this one?
Oh boy.
You want your blood to boil? What if I were to tell you that there were reporters of the New York Times who knew the BLM rioters were destroying poor interracial communities, but the New York Times said, we won't run the story until after the election. Kind of obvious why. Well, we have this this is from Barry Weiss's Substack, from Nellie Bolas, formerly of the New York Times. I believe this is let me make sure I'm getting the name. I'm fairly certain it's from Nellie Bolas. Yep. By Nellie Bolas. Okay. Now that we know it's her, let's read her story. A note on Kenosha in light of the Kyle Rittenhouse trial. She writes, until quite recently, the mainstream liberal argument was that burning down businesses for racial justice was both good and healthy. Burnings allowed for the expression of righteous rage, and the businesses all had insurance to rebuild. And she's right. Now, many progressives and neoliberals came out and said, oh, come on, that's not true. You're exaggerating. No. They all said, oh, they have insurance. They wrote articles in defense of looting. They wrote books. They were defending this. Kamala Harris tried to bail. She raised money to bail them out. Biden staffers raised money to bail them out. She goes on to say, when I was at the New York Times, I went to Kenosha to see about this. And it turned out not to be true. The part of Kenosha that people burned in the riots was the poor multiracial commercial district full of small underinsured cell phone shops and car lots. It was very sad to see and to hear from people who had suffered. Beyond the financial loss, small storefronts are quite meaningful to their owners and communities, which continuously baffles the Zoom class. Something odd happened with that story after I filed it. It didn't run. It sat and sat. Now, it could be that the piece was just bad. I've sent in bad ones before and I'll do it again. A few weeks after I filed, an editor told me the Times wouldn't be able to run my Kenosha insurance debacle piece until after the 2020 election. So sorry. There were a variety of reasons given. Space, timing, tweaks here or there. Eventually, the election passed. Biden was in the White House, and my Kenosha story ran. Whatever the reason for holding the peace, covering the suffering after the riots was not a priority. The reality that brought Kyle Rittenhouse into the streets was one we reporters were meant to ignore. The old man who tried to put out a blaze at a Kenosha store had his jaw broken. The top editor of the Philadelphia Inquirer had to resign in June 2020, amid a staff outcry for publishing a piece with the headline, Buildings Matter Too. If you lived in those neighborhoods on fire, you were not supposed to get an extinguisher. The proper response, the only acceptable response, was to see the brick and mortar torn down, to watch the fires burn, and to say thank you. Holy
wow.
From Nellie Bolis, formerly of the New York, formerly of the New York Times. Anymore. Mm-hmm. To write that and to feel that indignation. The only thing you could do as you watched your town, your home, your friends and family's livelihoods burn to the ground was say thank you.
Hmm.
The New York Times covered up what was going on. They knew how bad it was. They knew the lives being destroyed. And they said, yeah, but Trump might win. So let's kill that story until after.
I'm thinking about my parents' house where I grew up. And if people came by, like a horde of people came by to burn their house down, like what would I want? I would want them to defend the house. Mm-hmm. You don't just let people burn your house down or your building down.
I think people have become so detached from what actually happens when there's rioting going on.
Yes.
Like, it's when you see it on TV, yeah, it looks kind of scary and the stuff, but the difference to hearing fire, feeling fire, the heat coming off things, the shouting, the crashing windows, that's terrifying.
Yeah, and if you haven't lived in a city that underwent these riots and this turmoil in 2020, like, I don't think you can actually understand it, you know? Like, speaking as someone who was in a city that was being rioted was LA. It's like, it's very scary just to see the collective freak out of people. It was the first time in my life that I saw just like this hive mind of people just losing their shit. And sorry, I don't mean to swear. And what it does to people and what it causes. It's a lot.
I keep thinking about how they say there's this chant like protect your house, protect your property, not your streets. Protect your property, not your streets. Like, get off the streets. Let them riot on the street. Go defend your building, but let them riot. But, like, if you set a big blazing fire on the street, yo, fire spreads.
Why is that even a choice?
Yeah.
Why is that even a choice?
In the pretrial hearing, when the prosecutor was like, it's just arson, the judge goes, are you kidding me? Just arson? I remember that moment. We talked about it. It was the most amazing moment of the trial. When the prosecutor, Binger, goes, what did Rosenbaum really do that night? Oh, I'll tell you what he did that night. He tipped over a porta potty with no one in it. He set a metal dumpster on fire.
And yeah.
Mm-hmm. Was swinging a chain around. Mm-hmm. He took a trailer, flipped it over in the street, set it on fire to block some police bearcats. Oh yeah, and he was yelling the N-word the whole time. And I'm like,
and he's saying stop! Like it's nothing.
What? Like,
stop.
You were like, God, really freaking me out, telling me a guy's doing that.
Doing all that, you're asking to get popped. You just are. You can't do that. And also, was there he even like attached to any of the ideologies present? Was he part of the BLM protests at all? I don't think he was.
I agree.
I don't think he was. Running around shouting the N-words. Probably not.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Here's what I think. I think that after, we'll be careful in describing what Rosenbaum did to those children because we'll keep it a little family friendly, but I just like to say atrocities. Because I don't think there's anything worse you can do to children. What he did, he had. I guess the rumor is a mental hospital. Some say a jail. He had gotten out that morning or recently. I don't think he knew anything or cared at all about Black Lives Matter riots. I think he just ended up there as someone who, I mean, what life did he have? If apparently he was carrying a jail bag or something to that effect,
like a hospital bag.
Something. So I think he was just an unwell person. I think we know the crime, the charges, the convictions against him. We know he was in jail. We know he was very unwell and particularly evil. I think he was just there that night to perpetuate his pattern of violent behavior.
But at what point do we have the conversation of why he was walking free in the first place? Because in my opinion, when you rack up five victims,
no, it was more than that. I think it was 11.
Yeah.
11. I thought it was 5.
I just read an article and they said 11.
Okay, so then.
But I could be wrong.
Even worse. Let's say hypothetically it is 11. Or for sure it's 11. Who knows? If that's the case, how do you rack up that many victims, being careful of how we describe the way in which you victimize them, how do you rack up that many and still be walking in the streets? To me, that's life in prison or worse.
Mm-hmm. I think, man.
And if he was in prison, it would have never happened.
Exactly. That's right. That's right. And that's why I tell people, you know, there are people saying like, don't defend him. Timmy was a monster. And I'm like, dude, I didn't want that guy to die. I don't believe in the death penalty. I didn't want him to get hurt. I didn't want Anthony Huber. And we should talk about Huber too. And Grosskreutz, that guy I like the least because, I mean, it seems like he got deals with the prosecutors to try and throw Colin to the bus. He's an ideologue. But I don't want him to get hurt either, man. I don't want people to get hurt. They should not have been there first and foremost. Kyle shouldn't have had to go out there and do that. And I don't think any of them should have been there. But the thing is, if they kept Rosenbaum locked up after he did what he did, none of this would have happened.
You might be right, because it seems like it was all a chain reaction after Rosenbaum got shot. Because they were trying to get him basically justice for Rosenbaum at that point. They're like, get him,
That's technically correct.
So there's no way to know, but it's possible that if Rosenbaum hadn't been there, no one would have gotten shot. Hmm. And
wow. That's right. Yeah, more than that, when the mob went after Rittenhouse, they didn't know why. That was actually laid out in cross-examination. Gage Grosskreutz, he's running alongside Kyle in the street, filming. And he says, what happened? And Kyle says something like, I'm going to get the police. Grosskreutz testified he thought Rittenhouse said, I'm working with the police. So Grosskreutz at this moment says, I don't know what's going on. He's just running. Grosskreutz breaks from Rittenhouse and runs back, stops, and people are yelling, get him, get him. He turns around, runs back towards Rittenhouse, drawing his gun.
That's a mindless zombie.
Pure mob mentality, eh?
He did not know. And so this was actually pointed out. I think this was pointed out by Andrew Bronk. I could be wrong, but a legal analyst pointed out that at this point, the narrative of people trying to stop a mass shooter is out of the window, because no one who attacked Kyle at that point had any idea why they were. So they were just mindlessly assaulting someone.
Well, that speaks to what I was saying before. When these riots are occurring, there's this hive mind that takes place. And you can feel it. And so I know I can make an educated guess that Kyle was feeling that. So anyone that comes at him is going to be seen as a threat, because all around him, he's witnessing people acting as a hive mind.
What was that like in LA when that started to happen?
It was scary. Like I said on the last stream, which was iconic, by the way. That was so good with Joe and Alex and Michael. It's the only time in my life I've had to evacuate my home, you know, and I live in California where maybe other situations arose where I would have had to, like fires and whatever, but never had to evacuate my home. And I kept delaying the amount of time I was in hiding, which was ended up being 2 weeks. I was like, oh, I'll go for the weekend. The riots will be over. They lasted 2 weeks at least. And again, it's just seeing people, this collective freak out is what really freaked me out.
You see the mob moving as a unit?
Yeah, and actually, I was getting my nails done and leaving the parking lot, and as I was pulling out with my friend in the car, we had about this much space between a huge, huge group of people walking down the street screaming angry. If I had left the nail salon even 10 seconds later, I would have been trapped in the nail salon, and they smashed buildings. So I might have been trapped in a building, and then who knows, it's like I'm not exactly loved by these people, I could have gotten hurt. It was scary.
People are asking if we would have Kyle on the show, and 100% absolutely.
Yes.
But a lot of people are like, you know, give him time. However, I think he's going on Tucker.
He already did the interview with Tucker. They just dropped the trailer. And you see Tucker talking, you know, Kyle already being interviewed. So Kyle's been
doing... He did it Monday?
I don't know when, but there's videos of Kyle talking on Tucker Carlson's... his other shows that he has. So right. he's been doing interviews. He's going to be doing interviews.
Wow.
So
I think we have
I thought he was going to take some time to like.
Me too.
It's important. We have a duty to present the evidence continuously in the coming weeks and maybe even months and maybe even years. I mean, it's a constant work to show people what actually happened.
Mm-hmm. I want to briefly mention, Anthony Huber. Because, you know, a lot of people are like, Rosenbaum was, you know, a child abuser, committing atrocities. Huber was a wife beater, and Grosskreutz was a grandma slapper and all that stuff. And I'm like, look, Grosskreutz was an ideologue, a revolutionary who attacked Rittenhouse with a gun. And I think he was very ideologically driven. Rosenbaum was just, he's a pattern of abuse, and I think he's a bad guy. Anthony Huber, I think he was just dumb. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean that to be disrespectful, because I'm actually sad the most about Anthony Huber.
Yeah.
So we have this story at TimCast.com. Girlfriend of man shot by Kyle Rittenhouse tells TimCast what she thinks justice would be. And I think it's actually a good response. Because she wasn't saying justice was him going to life in prison or death penalty or anything like that. She responded to Cassandra Fairbanks on Twitter saying, To me, justice would be this kid growing up, finding love and family, as beautiful as Anthony and I had, then him realizing exactly what was taken from us and feeling that fully, I don't wish this on anyone. Mm. Well, she kind of just did wish
apart
it on
from
Kyle.
Him.
Apart from him. But she's not saying that he lose his love. He's saying he feel the love and then realize what, it's like, what had happened. I can respect that.
Yeah.
Because she's not saying, like, you know, he was a kid, he'll understand that feeling. And to me, when I watch this go down, I'm like, this Anthony Huber guy, right? He's got a criminal conviction, but we did talk about the varying degrees to which we would judge someone by their worst moments.
Yeah.
I just think he was a guy who didn't know what was going on, and he made the mistake of joining the mob. He saw a guy running with a gun and people yelling, get him, and he didn't think. And he ran up and grabbed the gun. He hit him with the skateboard twice, then grabbed it. Kyle said he felt it being pulled away, and he fired in defense.
Yeah.
I'm sad anyone got hurt in this instance. And the scariest thing about it is, for the most part, Gage Grosskreutz and Huber were mostly just being mindless. Mm. Like, they weren't paying attention. They weren't thinking. They didn't care. They said, the mob is attacking him, we join in.
Mm.
And that's the worst part of it. So, you know, a lot of people want to immediately just hate all these people. There was a video from outside the Rittenhouse trial where someone bought a bunch of, I think it was Domino's Pizza, and then the Black Lives Matter protesters and the pro-Rittenhouse protesters, or whatever you want to call them, shared pizza together. And I was like, that's awesome. And that's hard to do. If you're out there and you're holding a sign saying, you know, free Kyle, and the other side saying convict, and you guys are like, I can't believe it, you don't like each other, and then somebody walks up from the other side and says, let's have pizza together. And I'm like, man, they're breaking bread over Domino's Pizza.
Yeah. I almost can't believe that happened.
It did. Yeah. I know. I was like, that's
crazy.
There's like a woman there, and he's like, take a slice, man. He's like, I appreciate you guys. I wish you love. And I'm like, that's awesome.
That is awesome.
That's what we need more of. Because if we can all, look, I'll tell you this. It's simple. If the people who are out there saying, we demand justice, Kyle Rittenhouse was a racist, if they came down to have pizza with us, then we could have that conversation and show them the videos and show them the evidence. And they would be like, oh man, like Anna Kasparian, I didn't know that. So I don't hate any of these people. I don't hate Anthony Huber. I personally dislike Gage Grosskreutz for lying on the stand and for, you know, what he did. And Rosenbaum was a monster. But Rosenbaum, I don't think, was ideological. Anthony Huber and Grosskreutz, they just needed to know the truth. And I feel like if in that moment they just stopped and said, yo, I don't want to be party, whatever this is, he's running towards the cops, none of the secondary stuff would have happened.
What do you think was the reason for the verdict taking as long as it did? It's not taken longer and it's not taken less. What do you think's happened?
Shout out to Andrew Branca, the star of the analysis of this case. He has been all over this. We've had him on the show before. He is the law of self-defense on Twitter. He's written a book about it. He nailed this. He wrote an article saying he thought juror 54 was the holdout, likely a woman, and a Karen type who's used to giving orders, and because of that was probably the jury foreman. Sure enough,
correct. Yeah.
At the end, the judge is like, have you selected a foreman? We have. Juror 54. It was a woman, and I was like, Branca nailed it.
Lady, yeah.
She had a memo to the court that said, please provide the video of Mr. Rosenbaum. We'll be ready for it momentarily. And he's like, that kind of language shows someone who's used to giving orders and
speaking
to the manager. But also, Viva Fry noted this. The note said, the video of of Kyle putting down the fire extinguisher, that was the language of the prosecution, meaning that juror had the perspective based on the prosecution.
She'd adopted their language.
Right. So as where the defense was like, Kyle is running and drops the extinguisher, the prosecution said he walks over and puts it down. She said puts it down as if the narrative from the prosecution. So Branca, his view was that she was the single holdout and everyone was on board, and this juror was refusing to, you know,
comply,
to agree with everyone, until finally Friday they swayed this juror and they came to a verdict.
Do you think we'll ever get to find out what happened inside of that jury room?
I do.
Yes.
Yeah.
Only a matter of time.
These jurors are going to get to write books.
Are there no laws around this? Because this is something that you should be concerned about. If people now see being on the jury of a big, highly contested trial as their springboard to now having a platform.
Welcome to America.
Yeah.
Brit.
Wow.
Not great.
Oh. Someone mentioned that Tucker's been making a documentary about the trial. Probably already interviewed Kyle a long time ago.
Yes. Cool. Good work, Tucker.
Yeah. Wow. Interesting. But I think I wouldn't be surprised if there were jurors who are like, I am so lucky to be on this journey.
Book deal, podcast circuits.
That's right.
I mean, they have stories to tell, just the amount of intimidation that was happening and the amount of forces that were trying to sway them. I mean, they have stories to tell. And that's another reason why it's so important that he was, you know, cleared of all charges, because imagine the precedent it would have set that cities can, or people can just threaten to riot if it doesn't go their way, a verdict. And, you know, MSNBC can just harass, you know, jurors. It's important that what happened today happened.
You guys ready for this?
Oh, what? Boy.
It ain't over. Mm-mm. Democrat House Judiciary Chairman calls for DOJ to conduct federal review of Rittenhouse verdict. He wants federal charges, which I do not see happening. This is probably just, you know, showboating or, you know, saber rattling. From TimCast.com, Cassandra Fairbanks, I believe it's Cassandra, right? Yep. Writes, Democrat Rep. Jerry Nadler is calling for the Department of Justice to conduct a federal review of the verdict in the Rittenhouse case, tweeting, this heartbreaking verdict is a miscarriage of justice and such a dangerous precedent which justifies federal review by DOJ. Justice cannot tolerate armed persons crossing state lines looking for trouble while people engage in First Amendment protected protests. Sue this man for defamation, please. No armed person crossed state lines. Dominic Black was indicted, is being charged by the DA for the straw purchase in providing the rifle to Kyle Rittenhouse in Wisconsin. It is plain as day. It is obvious to anybody who's paid attention. And this is gross negligence to say something so stupid when this is the highest profile case we've had in how long? I don't know.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
At least since
Derek Chauvin.
Yeah,
Chauvin.
Yeah.
1 year.
And before that, I don't know.
Or not even a year.
OJ, Rodney King.
Yeah. I mean, this is a lot bigger than Chauvin, in my opinion.
Oh,
I mean,
for sure, yeah.
The people being glued to this. I've had people who are a little older said it feels like OJ.
Yeah.
Everyone's like glued to the TV waiting.
That OJ trial's crazy.
Do you think the reason that it's garnered so much more attention is because the outcome was less sure?
I think it's because when Chauvin... was after Chauvin, you know, the video came out, everyone, like 90% of people, were on board with, like, get that guy off the force.
Yeah,
like, that was bad.
Yeah, it's upset.
Mm-hmm. With Rittenhouse, the right immediately saw the video and said, okay, he was acting in self-defense. Then the media lied, and the left immediately said, we believe whatever the TV tells us. And so it became the necromancers of mainstream media casting their spell over the masses to keep them in the dark, while those of us who are out, well, let's use the allegory of the cave instead. All of the people sitting in the cave watching the shadow puppets dance, we were the people who exited the cave and saw reality and were desperately yelling to them, that's not true. Come out.
Come
and they
out.
Would be like, no. And so what I think made this so big was how ingrained the lies were. It took Anna Kasparian a year to finally realize the truth.
How did she find out?
And
did
she I don't
ever
know.
Explain
she
it?
Watched the video, I think.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I think it's really important for people like Anna Kasparian to show publicly that they can change their minds.
Yes. 100%.
I think that is such a powerful example for
look
other
at,
people to see.
Look at Cenk Uygur. You know, I really
he's doubling down
talking about this guy, but you know, he said nasty things about, you know, we brought him up when we did the show with Rogan, and then it became a stupid thing because the media is so dumb. They're like, here's a story, they're arguing, but he was like, Rittenhouse is bad, blah blah blah, and he tweeted about me and Joe, said, you know, Rittenhouse fanboys, and I simply responded, we were just citing Anna Kasparian. That's right.
And I definitely, when she came out and corrected herself and changed her opinion publicly, I definitely refrained from hopping on any kind of hate bandwagon, you know, going towards her, just because I felt like it is so important. And it is actually rare for people on both sides to really just
it's
be
hard.
Like, yep. You know what? I was wrong.
Got to reward that. Talking about suing and stuff, Tim, can we talk about what Kyle does next?
What does he do next?
Well, so when I saw that Nick Sandman thing, right, and you see this kid who's been through a lot, but you didn't see his suffering so much. And then he gets this huge payout, and you think this guy doesn't need to work for the rest of his life.
We don't know what his payout is.
Okay, well, yeah, it was small.
It could be.
Really?
Yeah, so with the Covington kids, for those that don't know the context, this is the kid who was standing on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial when the Native American guy walked up and started banging the drum in his face. The media lied and claimed it was the other way around. Sandman sued a bunch of media outlets. The lawsuits were for huge sums, but they settled for an undisclosed sum out of court. Some have argued he received a nuisance fee, meaning that the media outlet probably just said, look, we'll give you $100,000. How does that sound? Go away.
Really?
It could have been small. Okay, some people said it could have been as small as $25,000.
Okay, so let's say that it's any amount of money, right? And it could be as big as you want.
I think it was big.
Okay, so let's say that it's $10 million, or let's say it's $50 million. Say whatever you want.
Not that big.
Yeah, okay. But I thought, looking at that situation, I reckon he's ended up netting in a positive there. Yeah, he's had a year of uncomfortable stuff and so on and so forth. The difference is, seeing Kyle's response, which I found really uncomfortable, seeing him shaking, he nearly faints, falls down to the floor, you see him put the bottle of water up to his mouth and he can barely drink it. And at that moment, I thought, I wouldn't go through what he's gone through, even if I never had to work. $100 million. No way. There is no amount of money that would make that trauma worthwhile.
The president of the United States called him a white supremacist.
When?
It was before he was president, but still, you know.
He made a video that showed a bunch of crazy stuff like Charlottesville, and then it also shows Kyle Rittenhouse, and he's like, the president won't denounce white supremacy.
Yeah.
I mean, who is it? Cori Bush?
Yes.
She's doubling down.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't Ayanna Pressley as well?
I didn't see
Keith
that.
Keith Olbermann.
Oh, that dude's nuts.
He came at us for that podcast.
Yeah, he sure did.
He temporarily posted and then deleted. Did you turn off my mic, Linda?
I hear you.
No, you're really loud, actually.
Okay, good. People are saying I'm too low.
No,
are they okay?
Kick it up a notch.
No.
You're limited. Yeah. Let me. I'm gonna slow and then slowly crescendo. But Keith Olbermann also. There's images going around of him apparently tweeting, "F this murderer," and then deleting it. So I've seen that from multiple sources being talked about online right now. But this is more than just doubling down. This is just hatred. This is just anger being directed at Kyle again. Yeah. When clearly, I mean, this man was put on trial. And then,
I got to clarify something too. Like, look, I know, you know, I mentioned just before that Andrew Branca said Juror 54 was probably an entitled Karen or whatever. I want to stop and say my respect, my compliments, my utmost respect to Juror 54.
Mm-hmm.
Juror 54 said not guilty.
That's right.
On all counts.
Yep.
So if this is the case of someone who is viewed as a mask Karen or a snooty leftist or whatever, it may actually just be someone who said, I'm not familiar with this and I'm going to go through this thoroughly because I refuse to take this lightly. And say whatever you want. Maybe she is Karen, maybe she is whatever. At the end, all that matters is this juror said not guilty on all counts, and we should all be respecting and give me a good word.
Grateful, congratulatory.
Yeah. We should be grateful and appreciative.
Yeah, I appreciate
and respectful
that for sure.
To all the jurors who said, this is justice.
Right.
So I think I'd love to hear their story.
Yeah, we don't know what they really have been through yet. We know a little bit with the MSNBC stuff, and but there's probably a lot more.
Yeah, and some of them were saying, you know, the media coverage has been scary. And I have known authoritative ladies who've been like, I need the full details. I just need all the information before I move forward. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. If you want to be the kind of person who speaks to a manager, fine. If you get to the root of an issue and you come up with the correct perspective, I think that's great.
It's possible that there are multiple jurors that were thinking like, okay, we think he's guilty. And she was like the voice of the jury and was saying, okay, you think that? I'm going to hold this in place until we can find a...
So she was mediating.
Yeah. Well, here's the worst thing. With you know, the analysis from Branca and with what we said already, that mask Karen, snooty, entitled, what if 11 jurors said, I don't want to do this. I don't want to be involved. Just say he's guilty so I don't get in trouble. And Juror 54 was the one going, no.
He's innocent.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah.
I would love to see. What if they don't record that, right? They don't record the jury rooms.
Have you noticed that during the Derek Chauvin trial, there was a lot of pressure from social media onto the jury? You must find this man guilty.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We haven't really seen, or at least I haven't seen, that same pressure with regards to the jury itself.
They were outside the courtroom screaming and bullhorning. Yeah, they were saying we're going to burn it down.
That was the extent.
They had to black
though.
Out the windows of the bus as the juries were coming through so that they couldn't see what was happening, but they could hear it.
MSNBC was following them down the
but
street.
Is that the same sort of intimidation? Targeted intimidation. Yeah. Really?
Way worse. Yeah. A journalist, so someone was caught filming the jury, mm-hmm. and the judge said at bus pickup there was someone filming it. The bailiff instructed them to delete the footage, or the deputy, or whoever, and we'll make sure this doesn't happen again. So everyone knew, stay away from the jury. The jury's bus windows were blacked out because they had to protect them. And then MSNBC sent a reporter to trail the bus to such a degree he was blowing through stoplights. And the police pulled him over, tweeted they thought he was trying to get photos of the jury. This is a direct threat.
That's
to
why
them.
They're banned from the courtroom.
That's right.
This as there's people.
They
on
didn't,
social
it didn't happen
media.
In Chauvin trial. I mean, in the yeah. Chauvin trial, they were being escorted into the building with armed police and with rifles. Right.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, there are tweets all over social media saying the most heinous things that people would like to do to the jury, to the judge, obviously to Kyle, and obviously to anyone who thinks the verdict was correct today. So yeah, they went through a lot.
There's people making open threats against the jury, which you would think the DOJ would get involved in and start investigating and start actually. You know, doing their job as a part of the DOJ. So that's why this latest development that the DOJ will be reviewing this potentially on behests of this congressman is a little bit worrying, because legally they have no room here, but that hasn't stopped them before. When you look at the actions of the DOJ, they're becoming more and more aggressively political. They're becoming more and more egregious in their actions. So this to me is something to, of course, look at, because it wouldn't surprise me if they did do something from here, in my own personal opinion.
Can you just think for a moment what would have happened that night if Kyle Rittenhouse hadn't shot? Mm-hmm. If he hadn't fired a single round that night, what would have occurred?
Rosenbaum would have had an AR. He would have taken it from him. Yep. I think he would have. I do believe he would have killed Kyle.
Oh, for sure.
Me too.
I definitely do.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, but here's what. So I talked about this the other night. I think on the surface, Rosenbaum was not going to take a gun and randomly shoot people. But what they said was, Kyle said, if he got my gun, he would have shot me and he would have shot others. And Kyle's correct for one reason. You can't approach it from the perspective that Rosenbaum was just a crazy guy who was going to run into a crowd. Rosenbaum would have grabbed the gun from Kyle and probably used it on him. I certainly think so. He threatened to kill him already. Once he did, everyone would have screamed, yo, he shot that guy. He shot that guy. Get him. Get him. Rosenbaum would then start
shooting
people.
It's like passing the book.
That's
right. Yeah.
Wow.
I it's a fair assessment, right? They would have seen Rosenbaum the same way they saw Kyle and yelled, get him, cranium that boy. And Rosenbaum would have been like, no. Crazy, violent, and he had a gun. Now, you know what I think the biggest mistake of the defense was? They won, so it's fine. But Richards, the defense lawyer, in the closing argument said that he was glad that Kyle Rittenhouse shot those men. And I was like, oof, no.
Yeah, that's too far. See, even with us, it's like, obviously the title of this video was like, you know, has the word party in it or whatever. Mm-hmm. But like, I don't think anyone truly is like excited that any of this happened.
There's not many winners here.
Well, at least no one in this room.
Yeah. There are certainly people who are happy. I think the whole thing was a net negative across the board.
Yeah.
The reason we're happy is that Kyle Rittenhouse's life will not be destroyed by this because of the tragic nights of that tragic events of that night, and from all the pain and suffering and the torment he's gone through, he may actually get some positive results here.
Mandatory life sentence.
I know.
That's what he was up against, and also we also have to at some point talk about, like, he will live with this forever. I mean, I've never taken a life. Obviously, I don't think anyone in this RV has, but that has got to just be such a uniquely traumatizing thing that's going to affect him for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this is just the beginning. So what happened today was right. I also think that they're actually, I don't think it's an entirely net negative, because I think it did set a precedent that Americans are allowed to defend themselves against violent militias.
No, I do think it's a net negative. Yeah, I've heard I was talking about this a little bit earlier, and I said, it was always supposed to be our right to defend ourselves.
Of course.
The Second Amendment was always supposed to be. And I think the fact that it was put on trial was dragging all of us down. That being said, we're happy because our rights were upheld. Kyle Rittenhouse, his rights were upheld. Again, it's a tragic situation, but it's this simple. When Richard said he was glad, he said he was glad that Rittenhouse, Kyle shot those men, because if he didn't, Kyle would have died. I wouldn't say that. I think that's terrible. You know, glad someone was shot. It's simple to say that it's unfortunate he had to do this, but you need to understand, as much as this whole night was a tragedy, Kyle Rittenhouse is not responsible for it. He was attacked by three assailants. Mm-hmm. One overtly and violently, and two, seemingly mindlessly and violently. And in each instance, he had a right to defend himself, and the jury agreed.
Where it may be a net negative, which means the totality comes out below zero, but I agree with you, Blair, that I think something positive within that net negative is that if people are considering going out and burning buildings down, and there are militia there to defend it with that are armed, don't attack them. Those people are there for a reason, with weapons for a reason. It's not a show. It's not a video game.
And perhaps people, you know, for better or for worse, may think twice about going out and burning down their local mom and pop shop. Now,
I do think this is a good precedent in that regard. And another thing that I think we haven't really fully sussed out is that this is, I would say this is very much a red pill for people who have kind of engaged with it, for like the lady who was saying, you know, I'm pretty well read, I'm pretty liberal, I'm fully educated or whatever. I did not know this. Now I know this. Her comments were full of people saying, you know, I didn't know that either. I think that's great. It's a white pill for us. It's a red pill for them, because it's like, look what the news is saying. When you can, it's like Trump's speech. Like, you can watch a speech and then you can watch what they're saying about it. You can watch the video and then you can watch what the media is saying about Kyle Rittenhouse. And you're like, these two things are not the same. This doesn't add up.
Yeah. If nothing else, it needs to teach people that corporate media is the enemy.
Exactly.
They have always, currently are, and will always lie to you. And they want blood.
Yeah. Take a look at this story we got here from TimCase.com. This is from yesterday. Kenosha School District switches to remote learning to protect students and staff. They say, while we have not been advised of any existing imminent danger, we feel this is the best course of action to protect our students and staff during an uncertain time. We will continue to work closely with law enforcement to receive support as needed in the days and weeks ahead. Hundreds of Wisconsin National Guard troops are on the ground should any rioting, looting, or general violence occur. I saw someone on my Facebook who's a pretty far lefty tweet, not our story version of it, but like just a card saying Kenosha is going remote learning out of fears of riots. And I just responded with terrorism. Mm-hmm. And this actually, it worked.
Has there been any reports?
Well, so the person responded with something about how they feel that the left is terrorizing children and schools and families. And my point was, like, I'm not going to sit here and get into a big, long argument about it, but when your schools are shut down because of left-wing rioters, terrorism.
Politically motivated.
So, well, it's literally terrorism.
Targeting civilians, yeah.
What the Black Lives Matter protesters were doing, and what people need to understand is they're like, oh, but the people outside the courthouse are being peaceful. It's like, yo, if there's like a mob, like a mafia, and the mafia goes, and you know they kill people, and they do it frequently. When the mafia shows up to your business making demands, those aren't idle threats. You don't say, hey, well, these mafia guys are being peaceful, so they don't mean anything by it. No, you're scared. You're like, this group is known to be violent. Mm-hmm. So when you have, outside the courthouse, Black Lives Matter, so protesters, and again, with respect to them sharing pizza with everybody, I think it's good to come together. But regardless, when you see those protesters, and then you remember what those protesters, not the same people, but similar people, and many, many of the same people, were doing in Kenosha, bashing the man over the head, burning down buildings. Just because they're being peaceful here doesn't mean it's not still creating that sense of fear and terrorizing people.
It feels cyclical. So you have riot, shooting, trial, verdict, riot, shooting, trial, verdict. It's like the human centipede with AR-15s.
Isn't that crazy that Jacob Blake situation resulted in riots, which resulted in Kyle Rittenhouse being down there, and then this whole circumstance.
Precisely.
And now it's all encouraged by the state. So pushed by the state.
Has there been any reports coming out of Kenosha about what's happened on the ground? And we know you said it was quite cold. That's one of the things that may kill off the fair weather rioters. But has there been any reports about that?
I haven't seen anything yet. Yep. I'm sure there's something happening. We do have reports coming out of Chicago of protests. But granted, it's cold.
It's Chicago.
Especially in Chicago. Chicago's very close to Kenosha, though. I think it's only like 60 miles. Or maybe like 70 miles. So fairly close.
I mean, Jesse Smollett faced the cold, right?
Yeah, he survived it.
Yeah, 2 in the morning in a non-residential district.
Right. What people are weak.
Now, look, I had a viral tweet recently where I said, remember when you were wrong about Russiagate? Remember when you were wrong about Covington? Remember when you were wrong about Kenosha? Remember when you were wrong about Jesse Smollett? Believing the corporate press is the definition of insanity.
Yeah.
Now, the definition of insanity is not the colloquial internet version, but the internet version is sticking your hand, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result.
Yeah.
So that's like you keep putting your hand in the fire and going, ow, this time it'll be different. Ow, this time it'll be different.
This is what I struggle with, though, because if you think about it, and we talked about this last time a little bit, how the actual ratings and numbers for many of these shows in the corporate media are so low, to the tune of maybe 100K for some of them, right? So this episode of TimCast is going to get more than most mainstream news shows talking about this. How do they still have so much influence? How do they still convince people of this when they're not getting those numbers for the most part?
They are. So I can proudly state that CNN and MSNBC Primetime, HLN Primetime, have nothing on TimCast IRL. We get, look, so every night we get several hundred thousand people who watch live, followed by 700,000 people who watch as like a standard YouTube video rerun, essentially, when it's not live. And 80% are the key demo. So we're getting like 400,000 people who are in the key demo. And then when you, that's comparable to Tucker Carlson. Now, Tucker with the older demographic is getting millions. He's massive. And CNN and MSNBC are getting like 800,000 with, you know, the older generation. So they're still getting more views than us. They're still, so we don't get as many boomers. Boomers still watch MSNBC, CNN, so they still have influence there. But YouTube puts them on the front page. If you search YouTube, if you go to YouTube on a clean computer you've never opened before, and you type in Kyle Rittenhouse verdict, you are not getting a Tim Pool video. You're getting a CNN video where they're going to give you the falsely framed narrative, and then you'll see it heavily disliked. Doesn't matter.
They're removing dislikes.
Because of that, right? YouTube puts the mainstream media on the front page. And so I can sit here and say we are annihilating them in the key demo with our live show compared to theirs. You look at YouTube and they're getting 100 million views per month.
From an RV.
No. CNN is.
No, yeah, we are. We're annihilating them from an RV.
I mean, actually.
We're cooler though. Whatever.
So that's for sure. My channels across the board, my morning show and TimCast IRL combined is like probably 40 or 50 million views. But CNN, their main channel, gets 100 million per month on YouTube because YouTube puts them on the front
page.
They
didn't used to, like 2000. I started YouTube in 2006, and they would feature Tim or me or like you. Like they were
independent creators, not the corporate media, because they were YouTube.
Yeah, it was like Chris Crocker videos and cat videos.
Yeah.
But also, like, if we see Rikeda Law's stream, I mean, there's an over
130K.
There's an overwhelming amount of success happening to independent individuals who are willing to say, hey, let's actually take an honest, real look at this and not just have a corporate trash regurgitated back on to unsuspecting people who are in a coma watching the boob tube. So I think also Mike Cernovich made a very interesting point today that I've been trying to get in during the conversations. And he said, quote, enjoy today. Censorship crackdown in retaliation is coming. Social media exposed. The fake news media. That can't be allowed to happen again. That's the words of Mike Cernovich, and I think he brings up a very interesting point, because if you are the people pulling the strings, if you are the corporate media, you just have egg on your face today. You lost a very big public case that you were purporting as something totally different from the reality of it, and the thing that broke the reality of it is independent people saying, enough is enough, here's the truth, here's the evidence, here's the pictures, here's the documents, judge for yourself. There's a big difference between the two. This is going to send wavelengths, especially to the people in charge, so this is going to be interesting to see how it proceeds. And I agree with Mike that it's going to probably lead with more censorship that we already have to deal with, because already the game is so rigged against us. No matter what happens in the media, the mainstream media, the corporate media always get favor. They always get notifications sent out to their viewers. They always get on the front page. We don't. And we're still competing with them. Now, that should send alarm bells to these people in charge more than anything else.
You can't change the direction of the wind. You can't adjust
your
sails.
So you feel like we are on a general trajectory towards winning then? Because I'm trying to keep this optimistic mood going. But kind of onto what you said, it's like up until very, very recently, maybe even just a few weeks ago, you couldn't even tweet or Facebook post a word of support for Kyle Rittenhouse because you'd be banned.
You still can't. On a lot of these platforms. I'm pretty sure you can't on Facebook.
You can't on Instagram, because my friend just got banned for reposting my tweet. I think you can on Twitter. Instagram, you cannot.
On Twitter, you can.
Yeah.
I don't know. Interestingly, there's an old... Cassandra Fairbanks had an old tweet where she said that Kyle Rittenhouse did nothing wrong.
Yeah, I saw that.
And then she got forced to delete it, and she tweeted again, like, I'd like to have a word with you. I just tweeted, Kyle Rittenhouse did nothing wrong. says a jury of his peers.
Yes. I added something small. I did the same thing.
No lie is found.
Well, I'm just correct. Reporting the news.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Says a jury of his
peers. It's an objective fact.
Nothing I mean, to be fair, they didn't say he did nothing wrong. Yeah. They said he was not guilty of the crimes for which he was charged.
It's reasonable doubt, right? That's it. That was the standard to be met. I don't understand anybody who's watched that trial and didn't arrive at reasonable doubt.
That went through my head a lot. The last week.
Let's take a look at their perspective coming moving forward from The Guardian. Kyle Rittenhouse has walked free. Now it's open season on protesters.
This is
the narrative that they're going with. The Kyle Rittenhouse precedent arguing that now right wing militias are going to go out and do copycat and all that stuff. And I'm like, dude, so you're saying that right wing individuals will go out, get attacked by rioters, and then defend themselves, and it's a copycat? Because that's what would have to happen for it to be a copycat.
I hate this conflation of protesters and rioters.
Yeah,
it makes me so sick because, again, going back to having lived in a city where this happened, there was a very clear divide. It's like, so once it was like around like golden hour, like maybe 5, 6 p.m., it would be BLM protesters. Some of them were angry, but there wasn't a ton of violence. The night would go on progressively. Things got sketchier and sketchier. A few fires popped up, and it was Antifa coming in and doing that. So if you lived in these cities when it happened, you know which ones were protesters, which ones were rioters. And what was happening in Kenosha was a riot.
Yep.
A quite bad one.
I'll just show this article real quick. Ian, you can keep talking, but I just want to make sure people on the screen can see the article.
We were down there on some night where there was like a protest turned into a riot, and you could see them all like standing around like zombies before like the door gets open and they all charge out of the door.
Yeah.
Weird.
Dude, like, mob mentality scares me so much. So
it's
much.
It's weird, isn't it? 100%. Why do, you know, so I often tell the story about when I was in Venezuela covering the riots down there. And there's this street. So imagine the street, and here's a street. I'm standing here. The National Guard of Venezuela is here. The protesters are here. We filmed a little bit, then we walked over and I turned left. At some point, the crowd that was here north ran full speed, all screaming in the same direction. So I ran west. And I thought to myself after that, why is it that the people who were in the group were scared of something to their south where the National Guard was, so they all ran the same way? It's as if a boulder had fallen down like an Indiana Jones, and instead of taking two steps sideways, they just run in the direction the boulder is going. It's like, that's the danger of mob mentality. They all scream, so everyone runs with each other in the same direction for which they're all being targeted.
I'll be honest, Indy could have run under the boulder, run towards, I've watched that movie 30 times since I was a kid. He could have made it underneath the boulder, let it go, and then just...
No, didn't it seal the cave?
No, there was a little bit of space underneath if you rewatch.
And this is something you're very passionate about.
Yeah, I still want him
but
to go
remember,
back.
Remember, have you seen Prometheus?
Yes.
The ship is rolling and she's just running in the direction. It's like, run sideways, take two steps to your right. What are you doing?
It's, panic is the worst enemy. You don't want to be part of that. You don't want to be part
frenzy.
Of a panicked crowd.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Frenzy is a good word for what went down in Kenosha.
A better word than mob mentality. Well, let's do this. It's a bit of a segue, but I really want to talk about this. Let me see if I can find the right tweet. Ah, here we are. I would like to offend all of the feminists real quick with this tweet that I have.
Right.
So this is my offensive tweet. Mm-hmm. As you know, today Kamala Harris assumed the role of acting president, the powers of the president, for I believe about 2 hours, was it? And I thought about this. I was thinking about, you know, everyone tweeting, "Madam President, Kamala Harris is now the president." And then I was like, what a way to gain the power of the presidency. So here's what I tweeted. The first woman with the power of the presidency will forever go down in history as receiving her power due to the sitting president getting his ass examined.
Wow.
So the story was Biden had to go for a colonoscopy and go under anesthesia, which means the power of the presidency had to be transferred to the vice president temporarily. Everyone then said, this is it, the first woman with the power of the presidency. And I'm like, man, that's awful historical precedent.
Yikes.
Right. Imagine a school where the teacher's like, does anybody know how our first president gained his power? Ooh, George Washington. He was leading the revolution against the British for independence. That's right. And what about our first female president? Ooh, the sitting old white male president had to get his butt examined, so she temporarily gained the powers. Great. And it's like,
why do we know this? Why is this public information? TMI.
Yeah, honestly.
Why is it public information?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, if someone were to attack us in those 2 hours, you maybe want to know who has the button or who's in power.
But why do we need to know that it's a colonoscopy?
Just imagine this. Kamala Harris is, you know, standing in the hallway of the hospital. Biden walks up right up to her holding the nuclear football and he goes, Madam Vice President. She goes, Mr. President, the nuclear football is yours for 2 hours. Let's get this butt stuff done.
Oh, didn't you say that Trump didn't go under general anesthetic so that he could have his colonoscopy and not have to pass power
on? That's the story. I'm not going to act like I've like deeply fact-checked with the doctors, but the report was Trump didn't want to hand over power to Pence, so he took the colonoscopy without anesthesia.
Gritted his teeth and went in dry.
You don't have to go. Maybe it's different with age, but you actually don't have to go under when you do a colonoscopy. It's not like a requirement.
As you get older, that's going to be slack anyway, isn't it? It's just going to fall straight up there.
I mean, it's clearly to figure out why he's been pooping his pants, right?
That makes sense. Like, that's the reason. I don't want him to have colon cancer. That
I bet they
cool.
pushed the butt story because they didn't want people to think it was neurological.
Maybe that's true.
Because maybe it was something different.
Is this a false flag?
But Ian, I think you're actually wrong because we've had two butt stories. We have three butt stories now with Joe Biden.
A lot of butt stories.
Yeah. Yeah, there was the long fart.
Right.
So this is interesting.
I almost spit my water out.
Okay, hold on. We did a segment, a year and a half ago, or a year or so, because Joe Biden was on TV and he farted.
Yeah.
It's like you play it and you hear a and it was like nasty. So when this news story came out in the past week or so, that this Camille Duchess said Joe Biden let out a really long fart. All of a sudden, I'm looking at the analytics on our YouTube channel, and we see this spike in views on a video from a year ago, and it's Joe Biden farts, and we are like, oh. But then there's also Joe Biden met with the Pope, I believe, right?
Yeah.
He was supposed to have a meeting, and then he was supposed to come out, but something happened where he like disappeared for a half an hour and then came out with new clothes on.
Mm-hmm.
And so people thought he had he pooped his pants.
Bathroom incident.
No, hold on. I don't think there's evidence to suggest that was the case. He may have spilled wine.
Maybe.
On his shirt, right? And they were like, what do I do? And he can't go out with a wine stain.
Doesn't take that long to get changed, though.
Half an hour?
It was
Biden's so what are you saying? Did he shower?
Yeah. I mean, there's speculation. We're speculating.
I'll put it this way. We get a story about a fart. Maybe that was the lead up to failing, rectal muscle or whatever.
Then we get the
accusations that he pooped his pants. Now we're hearing he's getting a colonoscopy.
Yeah.
Don't worry, everybody. It's routine. It's routine. I think he's got butt problems.
Askgate.
100%.
This is Askgate.
Don't open those gates.
So if I was Kamala, I would not brag about this or let this be my legacy.
No.
Talk about the time that you were president for 2 hours because of that. I'd be like, just run again, Kamala. I don't like you. So maybe don't run again. But
I got another bit.
Oh, boy.
There's going to be kids in school, and they're going to be watching a video the teacher's going to put on, and it's going to be Abraham Lincoln. I was president during the American, during the American Civil War, fighting to keep the Union together and end the moral injustice of slavery. It was a contested election, but I fought hard to preserve the Union. And they're going to flip to the next page. I'm Kamala Harris. I assumed the powers of the presidency because the president above me had to get his butt examined after farting and pooping his pants. Legacy. Oh,
glorious.
Camilla Parker Bowles is the woman.
Oh, let me see if I can find that.
Fart. Yeah. It was unavoidable, apparently. She was very embarrassed.
I mean, this is, look at this. We have Politico.
No.
Joe Biden's fart and, what is this? Okay. Joe Biden's fart and other embarrassing royal moments for Americans. U.S. President lets rip at COP26 meeting with Kamala.
You're crapping on my nation here.
Oh, the puns. At some point, puns were like the epitome of humor.
Yes, they still are, Timothy.
I like them.
I guess.
Sure,
I like them, the puns.
They're great,
I don't want to be too hard on this guy for ripping ass. We all do it. Everyone's experienced
it. Sound like a guilty party here.
I'm definitely guilty.
I thought I smelled something.
I'm happy you're not sitting next to me tonight.
Stop, you guys.
Look. I'll actually say... Yeah, I don't want to come down an old man.
He's just old.
For
it's
pooping
okay.
his pants.
Yeah, it's all right.
But come on. If you're at the point where you're having bathroom accidents...
Then maybe you shouldn't be president.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's exactly
maybe.
It.
I don't know.
What about those control pants?
Yeah, the Depends.
Yeah.
Well, don't they sell, like, elderly clothes that have,
Biden edition?
Built-in.
I don't think so. Yeah.
Oh, okay, look. Like, I understand incontinence, like, if you have to buy diapers because you wet yourself and stuff, but if you're pooping in your pants...
You got bigger issues.
Yeah.
I mean, like, that's not something... You look, if you're wearing a diaper and you pee your pants, you piss yourself... no one's really going to notice. You'll be uncomfortable. But if you take that dump, people are going to smell that. And they're going to be like, oh,
It's wow. offensive.
It's very
it And I will yeah. say, she did get the presidential power a lot sooner than I thought. I thought he'd at yeah. least make it to midterms without having to hand it over.
Hold yeah, on.
Didn't make it.
I just had a realization. I'm going to walk all this back.
Oh,
this is great. We have okay. the best president ever.
What's that?
Think about it.
I'm thinking.
Joe Biden walks in to meet with Kim Jong-un. They've been doing nuclear tests. He walks in and Kim Jong-un is thinking like, I'm going to handle this negotiation. They got nothing. Oh!
Yeah, you can't get the smell out of the wall.
Dirty bomb.
Dirty bomb.
Dirty
and then bomb, Biden yeah. sits down and says, I can sit here all day. And Kim Jong-un's like, no! Yeah. No, whatever you want, please.
We just have to weaponize the doo-doo.
That's right.
We have to use it for our advantage.
It's not the doo-doo that's dangerous. It's the bacteria that grows on it.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
everyone's clear, too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But Biden's going to be like, you know, is like, I can sit here
I
for hours.
All day.
I got all day.
I'll
to
fall
sit here
asleep.
And,
oh, yeah.
And then, like, he meets with Vladimir Putin, and Vladimir Putin's like, this is not funny anymore.
Because then, when it gets in the walls, the smell, every time you smell it, you remember yeah. that
Biden,
moment.
Biden's
muscle
like,
memory.
Ian, why have you thought this through so
yeah,
much?
I've been through it, man.
Yeah, you went through a whole narrative.
I've known a lot of people.
Biden, thing, yeah. Biden's sitting with, like, Vladimir Putin, and they're looking at each other, and then Biden just starts shuffling his butt in the chair.
Oh, no.
And then Putin's like, my chair! My chair! Stop! Stop! And then everyone's like, oh, they're holding their noses, and they're like, we give anything you want. Please just leave.
Right.
Maybe that's what it was yeah. when we met with the Pope. He was like, I got some demands, Pope. And the Pope was like, I don't have them. Oh! No, I'm kidding. I'm really... I'm not confident.
Depressing.
You know what it feels like? I think it's really obvious what happens. People hated Donald Trump.
Yep.
The Atlantic writes that story, stay alive, Joe Biden, all we need is your corporeal form. People vote for anything. They vote for a ham sandwich at that point, and they literally voted in a guy that we all knew was decrepit and incapable. The Onion has that very funny article where it says, presidency already ages Joe Biden 10 years, and it shows a rotted corpse. Like, just, that was their image.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
even The Onion was like, dude, this guy's too old to be president.
Yeah, every leftist I know concedes that. There's none, I don't know many leftists who are like, yeah, he's doing
great.
Good, he's on top of his game, power at full. No, he's old and he's fading away, and it's sad, and it's somewhat elder abuse to put him in that position. But
yes, definitely.
Especially if you watch video from, like, even 8 years ago of him.
Even just a few years ago. I watched an interview with him recently where he was on The View, because I'm, you know, I like torturing myself. I watched a clip of The View. And, like, it was, I think, in 2018. And he was there. Like, he was
sharp,
talking.
Yeah.
But the older you get, the faster you decline. 2 years is like 10 when you're that old.
The difference yeah. between whatever it was 30, 40 years ago at his absolute peak and now is crazy. He was really sharp.
Yeah,
crazy
right.
sharp.
It's crazy. They're like, yeah, he has a stutter. And I'm like, no, he's got something. He's got
old.
Dementia.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's old, man.
I interviewed him before about some deep, like deep, deep down the rabbit hole stuff, and he was on it. He was like, this was a few years ago, and he was, you know, like he was lying, but he was lying on a level where other politicians weren't even that competent to lie as quickly and as effectively as he did. So there's been multiple incidences where I was kind of surprised at how well he is up there. Now, I think, you know, there's a lot of people being like, they're just bringing out different versions of him out every day, because there's always something, there's always an incident that shows how much of in decline he is, and it's kind of sad to see, really, to be honest.
You know how there's
with you.
Those rumors about the presidents having body doubles and stuff
yeah.
like that? That's a bad gig, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
I could see it, yeah.
That's a
terrible.
Bad gig being Joe Biden's
But
body,
if you have a president, like, if you have a president who's not there, wouldn't you want to use the body double many times?
What was that? Right. Remember that weird photo of Hillary Clinton that just did not look like Hillary
yeah.
Clinton?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially after she
that.
Collapsed.
When she, yeah. oh my God, that she was collapsed, such a moment. I forgot
and
about
then
that.
There was, she collapsed, and then there was another moment where she had a small child run up to her, and then it came out she had, I think, an infectious disease.
Oh, that's
oh,
and
yeah.
then, and then she's waving and, like, brought a little child no. in to do a little PR, and then
gross.
She stood very far away from the camera, and there was a lot of physical and facial differences than what she mm-hmm. normally looked like.
Remember that video where she spits up into her glass?
Yeah, disgusting.
Yeah,
so
she was, like,
gross.
Doing a speech. Yeah, she they were like, she has pneumonia. I'm
yeah.
like, I think she probably did have pneumonia.
Yeah.
But, like,
it.
Trying to hide it and campaign through
it's
that
weird.
Was gross and dangerous.
Brutal.
Here's my
yeah.
question, though, because as we're talking about these old politicians fading away, how in any reality does Joe Biden make it through even one full term? And I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to say I wish anything. But, like, we're not even halfway through his first year. We are halfway through his first year. How?
Mushrooms.
Yeah.
Well,
we're
a couple months away from 1 year for Biden.
Yeah.
And people are already like, is he going to be president next year? Like,
yeah,
is he going to have to step down?
Yeah, and this degree of uncertainty is really not good for us because, like, we can't, we're already really uncertain. We're already not friends with our neighbors. Putting someone, this was always elder abuse from the beginning. I was like,
I agree. Well, I think they're just using Biden as a way to ram through all the horrible policies that they, that any other president would be, this is absolutely ridiculous. Mm-hmm. This is crazy. I think the only way they could push this nonsense is with someone who's not really there.
Yeah.
And I think they're using him as this kind of fall guy at the end of his career. He's been a career politician, ram everything that's extremely unpopular, that's going to tank his numbers. And he's the Frankenstein president.
They're going to, the rumor is they're going to leapfrog Buttigieg over Harris for 2024.
Yeah.
He sounds like Obama. He talks like Obama.
Buttigieg doesn't have what it takes.
He doesn't have the charisma.
No. But he does have the CIA connections.
It doesn't matter.
You like, still need charisma,
they
right?
didn't think Trump was going to win. And the reason Trump did is because he'd be up on stage and they'd be like, a question for Mr. Rubio. Rubio, you said that you'd like to raise taxes. And Trump would go, excuse me. Yeah. No, little Marco, you'll get your time. We're going to talk about the work. And he just shut everybody down.
Yeah.
And so they're like, what is he doing? Like, this is not how the game is played. And they didn't know how to play checkers against a guy who was playing chess. Right. I'm not going to pretend Trump was playing 4D chess. My point is, Trump was just on a different level.
Yeah.
And Buttigieg, they had no idea.
Doesn't have the balls.
No.
But then again,
mayor of a small town in Indiana.
Yeah.
But Kamala's a non-starter as well, though, right?
Right.
Oh definitely. Gosh,
so absolutely. Much,
yeah. Backed into a corner. So what happens? Roll it forward. What do you think the Democrats do?
The only I'm rethinking a little bit, though, that they would be fully Buttigieg might have a chance because leftists are very concerned with appropriateness. They're very concerned with people who can just say the right things, regurgitate talking points, be very proper, like, maybe. Oh,
and they'll push the gay narrative.
Yeah, oh, yeah, of course.
Oh, my gosh. That's what's going to be. It's going to be the first openly gay president.
That's right.
Yes,
you can't criticize him.
Yeah.
But I believe that we're entering a period where people would vote for a ham sandwich over a Democrat.
I think so.
With that New Jersey state senator guy we talk about all the time. And I think people have just – this has been a bad year. It's been a bad year. And the media doesn't want to admit it. And diehard urban Democrats don't want to admit it either. But inflation. Mm-hmm. You see the tweet where it was like, experts are shocked that inflation is happening?
How shocking. Right.
And it's like, how are the expert economists shocked when, like, random grandpa online, you know, like, Grandpa Joe, 33, is like, there's inflation and I'm mad about it.
I saw, like, random, like, not even super intellectual people like 9 months ago being like, inflation's coming, get ready, y'all. It's like, so what are the experts doing then?
Yeah, not paying attention.
Right. Buying gold.
Lying.
Yeah, they do. They lie up until like the week. That's what they do.
This was the Economist. The Economist ran that headline. They were like, sharp increases in inflation blindsided many economists. Almost no one saw it coming. I'm like, yeah, bull crap.
What have you been doing?
This
what
is
have
the you Economist.
Been doing? It's getting mind-boggling. It's getting to the point where I see the word expert and I think, okay, so an idiot.
Yeah.
Which it's not how point. It should be. We should have faith in the system and we should have faith in the people that we prop up to like guide us through certain things. But it's just not how it is anymore.
Yeah. It's like, you've got random dude yelling at camera predicts inflation. That's me. I'm like sitting in my room. And I'm like, man, if they print all this money and borrow this money, it's going to be inflation.
Right.
It's coming.
Look at that.
And then the experts are like, he's certainly wrong. Mm-hmm. And then a year goes by and they're like, we're shocked by this. And I'm just sitting here like, dude, you're just lying.
Yeah. You look at what Fauci did with the masks in the very beginning of the pandemic and they told people you don't need them. They're not effective because they didn't want to instill a panic and a rush on the mask. They do the same thing with the economy. Mm-hmm. During the Great Depression up until the stock market crashed, they were saying everything's going to be fine. Everything's great. It's better than it's ever been. Buy stock. Yeah. It was like 1929 I'm talking about.
But I know, I agree. But I'm saying in 2007 and they're like, everything's fine. Everything's fine.
And then it crashes and they're like, Oh,
how did this happen?
Well, and then they all kind of like look at their watches and like kind of try and diffuse the blame. I mean, who are you going to blame about it? It's hard to blame someone for the entire economy.
The reason they do it is because they're like, hey, we know the apocalypse is here financially, but if we tell people, it'll happen faster. So just sell, sell now and then let it crash and then buy back.
Yeah.
And that's what they do every time.
How nice.
Nancy Pelosi, I love those TikTokers that track her stock purchases.
Incredible.
They're like, just buy what she does because she's as corrupt as they come.
She's got the inside track, man. Oh, she knows what's happening.
They passed the laws. They know what bill's about to get passed. And so they're like, hey, the news about this tech firm getting, getting fined, or getting shut down because of our new bill is going to hurt the stock. Short them.
And it's going to help their competitors, so you invest in their competitors.
That's right.
There's people on TikTok making entire careers off of Nancy Pelosi picks, which have higher dividends than Bitcoin.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Dang.
It's wild.
Why aren't I doing that?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I was just going to say, I need to look at these TikToks.
Yeah. Millennial financial advisors, what we do in your portfolio is very simple. We follow Nancy Pelosi.
Exactly.
And invest as she does.
That's literally what happens.
God.
That's
how.
That's one of the horsemen of the apocalypse.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. Yeah.
Oh, it's a crazy country we live in. But, you know, I will say, today, white pill, right?
Is that what they're saying?
We're all fairly optimistic. We look at what happened with Kyle Rittenhouse. Justice was served. Kyle should not have been on trial in the first place. That's why I say the whole thing's fairly a net negative, but gun right victories.
Yes.
The right to keep and bear arms, the gun charge dismissed. We're seeing it across the board. Demands for gun control is the lowest it's been, I think, since like 2014.
Mm-hmm.
People are just saying, and liberals too, young millennials, Gen Z, because even on the left, they're pro-gun.
This is why we're not going to become Australia. No matter how bad things get here, we're not going to become Australia.
Yep.
How about we read some super chats on this wonderful Friday night?
Let's do it.
If you haven't already, smash the like button, subscribe to the channel, share the show with your friends, and let's get some super chats in. I will try to read from this big screen that we have here. It's much better than, you know, back home I don't have the big screen. All right, let's see. This is who we got. We have Ron Quay says, after seeing this win while at work, I went to lunch and had a bald eagle fly past me. Beautiful day for America.
Yes, indeed.
You know, we're in Texas, and we just, you know, I see everybody outside, and I'm smiling, and I'm like, it's a good day. And I tweeted, it's a good day. And people are like, that's a good day. And that's it. Yeah.
Could have been a very angry show, though. It's a happy show now.
It could have been, man. It could have been very, very scary. All right. Jago Dragon says, not guilty and dismissal with prejudice. Mm-hmm. Huge victory. That was something that was really interesting, is after Kyle leaves the courtroom, I heard the prosecutor says, defense. They mutter something, and then he says, state. And the state says, the jury has spoken. And then he goes, the defendant's motion is granted. All charges are dismissed with prejudice.
Oh,
anything else? And I was like, wait, was he talking about the mistrial? Like, what was that about? And no, he was saying, with a not guilty verdict, that's it. All charges are dismissed with prejudice. They cannot be brought back up. It's over. But that's normal. That's normal. It was just him saying, we're not guilty. Kyle had already left. It's amazing.
He's on the road trip, man. He's gone. He's making...
I would be, like, he's the guy to have on the show now.
Yeah.
You know, to have here... But look, I think even Crowder mentioned it, like, everyone
holding
stand
off.
Back.
Yeah.
No vultures rushing in.
Exactly.
You know, but I'd be really interested to hear, like, his motivations, like, to hear his full story. So we'll see it on Tucker, I suppose.
Yeah.
We'll see, like, what he was watching, what he was seeing, what inspired him, what scared him.
If he recorded that on Monday, like you said.
Tucker Carlson was recording during the whole trial.
Okay.
So they were doing a documentary about what was happening during the trial. And they're going to be releasing their interviews with him Monday.
Is it legal for a defendant during a trial to be giving press?
Yeah, of course.
That to me, just the entire openness of the system. Jury is able to write a book, do a podcast circuit after it's finished up. I mean, is the judge the only person that's not permitted to go and do press stuff?
He can, I'm pretty sure.
Wow.
I think they just have scruples, and they're like, that's not the way we're supposed to do it.
That's crazy.
I don't know for sure, though. Maybe they can't. They can, but I'm not sure.
There's Supreme Court justices that do interviews.
Mr. Laxative says, do you think the prosecutor will be disbarred? I do not. I think nothing bad will happen to them, even though they had committed grave constitutional violations. I don't know what you guys think.
Who knows?
Flashback to the image of him just pointing a gun.
Yeah, right.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, my God.
Cole Leggieri says, seeing Shirafisi of Kyle's defense team hold back tears after consoling Kyle speaks volumes to the kid and the magnitude of the trial. I mean, it's...
Yeah.
Amazing.
It was really emotional to watch, and you really saw the kid in him. And that's why I said earlier, it's like he took life at the end of the day, and he's going to have to deal with that, and I feel really bad for him.
Remember that crocodile tears accusation,
right?
Yep.
That
right.
He was the best actor in the world, and he'd managed to get that done. But the tears today, upon finding out that he was not guilty, were precisely the same. And I forgot to say this earlier on. Did you know that when he was arrested, he was crying and vomited when he handed himself in?
I'm sure. Wow.
He threw up when
sure.
he handed himself in. This kid is someone who's an emotional guy.
Traumatized.
He took a lot of head trauma that night.
Like, yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
It could have been concussion plus emotion.
Yes, poor guy.
Man.
IM16Bit says, today was one hell of an International Men's Day.
Yeah,
cheers to my fellow
that's
kings out there.
Is today International Men's Day?
That's right. It is.
What a day.
Shout out to the men. All the men.
The Geth says, I will send a $50 super chat when you get Kyle on your show.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure, well, I'll wait if, you know, someone reaches out to us. Not that anyone would, but if it happens, I'll be like, yes, but I'm not going to do any kind of, you know. Because this is, it's sensitive. Like, I think Crowder said the same thing. Like, everybody chill out, you know.
Yeah, whether he decides to live a quiet life going forward or become a warrior for the cause, I think equally it should be respected.
Yes.
Gerald Armstrong says, this case has shifted my views of the death penalty. How can I allow a government who wanted to destroy a young man's life execute people? Can't trust a corrupted government. Bingo.
Same.
This is why I have always been against the death penalty. Because it is better that 100 guilty persons escape than one innocent suffer. That's Benjamin Franklin. It is better that 10 guilty persons escape than one innocent suffer. That is Blackstone. And the idea that the state could execute an innocent person, and they do, is one of the most terrifying prospects and violation of civil liberties. I would rather know that there is a criminal out there, but I can defend myself from them, than ever sanction the state to arrest someone like Kyle Rittenhouse and say mandatory life sentence. Could you imagine if there was a state that was like, if he's convicted, you're going to die? It's like, especially for political pressure.
Yes.
Isn't it interesting that you've got to nerf the state's capacity because of its own incompetence?
Mm-hmm. Good.
Yep.
What do you think about the death penalty, Chris?
It's a difficult one for me. In the UK, it's just not a conversation that we have.
Do you have the death penalty?
No.
No. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. I think it's wrong. I do not trust the state to get it right, and I would.
Oh, they do good at everything else.
Yeah.
They can't run the DMV right. I don't charge them with any aspect of my life. Yeah. And imagine being prosecuted by Kamala Harris, someone who is a career prosecutor who just wants to get a win no matter what.
That's
cruelty. That's evil on next level stuff.
I've done a 180 on the death penalty because there was a time where I would look at, for instance, one of the people that Kyle killed, the pedophile. I would look at cases like that and be like, you know what? Maybe take him out. But as the years have gone by and 2020 happened, my trust in the state has been eroded so much that I'm now anti-death penalty as well.
Hmm.
DC Pagan says, day one of the double eclipse demon star conjunction fortnight of chaos and madness commenced with a great start.
Whoa.
Did you guys know that there was like the longest partial lunar eclipse the other night?
Yeah. In 500 years or something.
Yeah. And then it's like today,
the moon is full. I don't know if it's full moon technically, but it's huge and red.
It's looking big.
We're actually going to have like a big gathering, I guess.
Howl at the moon.
So today was the first day I ate something other than brisket.
Oh, good. What'd you eat?
Mexican food. Tex-Mex. Which is just as bad. I was like, we need a soup place. I was like, we need salads. I've been eating nothing but like barbecue and brisket here. My gut's been like, what are you doing?
What is happening?
Come on, Texas. I had chicken fajitas.
On that Michaela Peterson diet.
I had
chicken fajita, so green peppers, onions, and chicken. I think that's pretty good.
Tonight's going to be fun, though.
Tonight's going to be great.
Yes.
Oh, man. This was a crazy week because I did, you know, we had the Tuesday show, which was so bonkers and trying to, oof.
Iconic.
Crazy night. And then Wednesday I had to do my morning show, then 3 hours of Rogan, then the nightly show. Then the next day I did the morning show, then I went on Jones's show, and then I did the nightly show. And then today was like a normal day, but it's still a full day of work. I'm probably going to just flop to the ground and not wake up for a day or something.
You made the most out of being here in Austin, though.
That's really good. And we're going to keep doing more stuff like this.
Awesome.
So I'm hoping that what we did on Tuesday, we can do similarly in other cities, like when we're in Nashville.
Get a bunch of Daily Wire people.
Yeah, we'll get all the Daily Wire people to just be hanging out and just be like, craziness. And that'll be a lot of fun. But we got to coordinate all the stuff and figure it out. We lucked out with this RV because we weren't really thinking too much about how we would implement a studio. But now that I've actually decided to start looking, I was like, we have some problems here. I look at all these other RVs for studio, and this really is like the perfect one. It was used, it was inexpensive, and it has this seating arrangement with three love seats all facing each other and a TV screen. I'm like, there's many like this.
We bought it last year. I remember when we were shopping around, I was like, this is perfect right here. This is the perfect studio office that we could actually have this kind of video, you know, like podcast through. There's other layouts don't work like this, so this is perfect.
It's a very intimate setting, too. It's like a really cool vibe. I mean, obviously, I love your studio.
It's cozy, elsewhere,
the seats are just nicer.
Yeah.
Like in the studio, they're good seats, but they're still like, you know,
office seats. You know,
these are like comfy love seats.
Loud. Yeah, you can just chill.
We'll read this one. This is a good one. Wathak says, Do you think Biden and his administration will be sued by Kyle Rittenhouse, or will there be any consequences against the media and politicians for pushing fake news and instigating insurrection? I don't know about Biden.
I don't think you can sue him, right?
Well, you can. Trump was sued.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. But the media, yes. And right now, Mayor Bill de Blasio, the ACLU, Ben and Jerry's, they all came out. Well, I don't know about Ben and Jerry's. A lot of these people are smart. When they're smart, they'll say something like, it seems like.
Yeah.
You can't sue if someone says it seems like. If they said, how would you feel if someone did what Kyle Rittenhouse did? Then, comma, how would you feel if they went to your neighborhood and shot black people or something? Oh, well, we never said that's what he did. But
Mayor, the Ben and Jerry one just flat out said he killed three black
people.
No,
it said how, it said something like, imagine if a black, 17-year-old took a gun and shot, you know, three white people or something.
Which was the one that said three black people?
The Independent.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Right, so that's actionable. That's
one for sure.
That's gross negligence. And then you have Mayor Bill de Blasio saying he did this. Then you have Jerry Nadler saying
Gavin
he did
Newsom?
It. Did he say it?
What did he? I don't remember. What
each and every one of these people
that said today,
each and every one of these individuals and media outlets that said he crossed state lines armed or with a gun can be sued for a false statement of fact. And I believe you have to prove actual malice, meaning they know they lied, or I think gross negligence. Considering this was the trial, considering the Independent is a news organization, I don't believe they'll be able to argue to a judge, no, it was a mistake. It was an honest mistake. It's like, you're a news organization that didn't do any fact checking. Mm-hmm. Sorry. Yeah, I don't think that's going to fly. However, maybe not.
Yeah,
may they say honest mistakes or honest mistakes.
Sorry, I mean to interrupt. Gavin Newsom said, America today, you can break the law, carry around weapons built for a military, shoot and kill people and get away with it. That's the message we've just sent to armed vigilantes across the nation.
And
so
did he
glad
say
I'm
Kyle,
out of California.
Did he say Kyle Rittenhouse did these things?
No.
He did not.
Smart.
Good observation. Because
these people know how to craft a message to manipulate people without being legally accountable.
Human
I think Andrew Cuomo just did the same thing as well. He released a statement about this matter.
Bunch of jerks.
All right. I Sir Toe says, I've heard directly from multiple people that since he was carrying a gun, he was looking for trouble. How does one articulate a easy-to-understand rebuttal to that phrase? I don't think there is one, because that's an ideological statement from someone who's convinced. But bear arms legally and then say, am I looking for trouble? I just, you know, I have my legal weapon with me, and whatever state you're in, follow the law. And what are they going to respond to you with, you know?
And his intention there was to give aid.
Mm-hmm.
He had a medical kit.
Yeah.
Right.
You can be like, well, did he have a medical kit? Was he looking for giving help? It's like, that gun was looking for trouble. What was a medical kit looking for?
Yeah.
Medical kits save lives, and so can guns.
You know, my favorite thing is when these leftists say something and I'm like, and I respond with, fortunately, he was rendering aid to the, they were like, he went there to hunt down, you know, to target Black Lives Matter protesters. And I said, well, it's not the case. He was actually rendering aid as per the state's own witness. And they go, prove it. And I'm like, yo, did you even read anything about this case?
Right.
It was huge when, like, Richie McGinnis and many of these witnesses came out and broke down exactly what went down. And I'm pretty sure it was Richie, but there were several witnesses who said he had a medical kit with him, and he was rendering aid. I believe the state called that one Grambo, and she was talking about he handed her the rifle so she could help somebody.
Yeah,
I'm like, yo, like, I'm pretty sure every single one of their witnesses said that.
When you respond to people on, like, Twitter or Facebook like that, do you ever think about making a video response?
That is smart, actually. I have a lot of friends that are just clueless, and they're wrapped up in corporate media. And, like, I don't
watch
these
you.
Are people I don't talk to very often, but there's a few people that I've known for years that are good people, just ill-informed, and that's a good idea. Instead of responding with some words, I can respond with a video like, hey, so-and-so, been a minute, we just want to send you this quick video and outline some important points that were in the trial that would probably help you out, and you can look into this and fact-check me, and then just say, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, there's a lot more to this case, check it out, hopefully that helps. And they'll probably be like, oh, okay, wow, I didn't know that.
It's a lot more tone coming across there, right? You're able to use your tonation. You can make people feel a little bit more comfortable. It feels less aggressive. Like, even things like using full stops.
Yes.
Where you put full stops in your message makes the entire thing sound different.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we'll try and go through some of these super chats. Always good to find people. A lot of people are super chatting the fact that Kyle Rittenhouse could face federal charges because, well, the feds want revenge, you know?
Yep.
We'll see, though, man. I don't think they'll do it. That would be a declaration of war.
They're talking about parents being parents.
That's true. Yep.
We'll see.
Okay. JT Fire says, hello, Tim. I'm a college student. I was doing homework when I saw the verdict was in. When I saw the verdict, I was so relieved and felt as though a weight was off my chest. I'm happy for him. There was a weight on all of our chests.
Yeah.
It kind of felt like I got out of the... I just got hit by a huge wave in the ocean, and I got out, and I was spitting water out of my lungs. Kind of weight. That was the release feeling. Like, it wasn't like yay. It was like, get this out of me.
Yeah.
Luke, you can read this one.
What does it say?
From Dragon Lady.
Dragon Lady, I can't...
Theoretically, he can. He's allowed.
Linda, can you do this?
He may. He can't.
Prostitute, Luke, you see...
I'll read it for you. Okay. Luke can't see the screen.
He's a bit far away.
Dragon Lady, Dragon Lady says, prostitute.
I heard that. That's
Luke,
great.
You are a god. That being said, to answer Tim's question, I was at work and heard my phone go off. Checked it and saw the news of the acquittal and went from exhausted to elated. Been working 50, 60 hours a week lately. Good day. Oh, I was energized. Mm-hmm. It was like I was exhausted. I was tired. My heart rate was low. And then all of a sudden it's up and I'm like, what?
Mm-hmm. Some of the reactions as well, if you watched it live, Crowder had a really good live stream as mm-hmm. it was coming in.
Were they all going, ah!
Each one, yeah.
Whoa! Whoa!
That's, yeah, it was great. It was really encouraging, yeah.
Because it meant so much. It wasn't just about him as a person. It was about, like we talked about, you know, Americans being able to defend themselves and their rights.
Next time we've got to go live as the verdict's being read.
That would be fun.
Yeah. Nobody was here.
Next time.
Yeah, but like, you were called
it. I was talking about this before. Like, we'd all have to be here ready to go. And I thought so. The problem was that it was taking several days. And we're not the kind of show where we just go live and everyone's here and we just keep it running all day.
Mm-hmm.
So we did what we did, but I think it worked out. I think we had a good time tonight. And
Crowder on his stream, he was out of breath when it started because he'd had to run from across town.
Wow. And then
if you watch the Daily Wire guys, Michael Knowles starts and then Shapiro gets in the office and joins. And then Candace gets in the office and joins.
Oh, great.
It's like just people like call in the Thunderbirds and then everybody lands.
That's awesome. Like to say that I worked very hard on a segment for my 1 p.m. YouTube show about the lockdowns getting worse and about people accepting the boosters. Austria has now gone full Gestapo. And so I record the segment and I'm like, the vaccine mandates are getting worse. Austria went from lockdowns only if you're unvaccinated, tricking people into doing it. And then a week later, now the whole country's locked down. And then I was like, and upload. And I went, great. And then a few minutes after it went live, they're like, the verdict is coming in. And I watched on my analytics on YouTube. It was like a huge spike and tons of views are coming in from people like, oh, I got to see this. And then when they announced the verdict, it goes,
darn it.
Yeah. And I was like, well,
take
you know.
One for the team.
Same exact thing happened to me. I was like, this Austrian news is so important. I got to cover it. And then as soon as that was done, as soon as it was up, I was like, okay. Well, this is not going to go anywhere. No one's going to see this now.
Oh, well.
So Brandon Taylor mentions about Rittenhouse on Tucker. Tucker Carlson is making a documentary about the trial. Posobiec just showed a short clip that was filmed today after the trial was over. I got to be honest. I don't know what his aim is for the documentary, but I would love to actually do a deep dive, like, documentary on the trial, the case, to show the malfeasance from the prosecution, how they cheated. I did a long segment yesterday as I outlined what I would describe as my evidence that ADA Krauss manipulated the evidence on purpose, intentionally, to disadvantage the defense. I would call it not definitive, but probable cause, in my opinion. And it's basically that the original drone footage came from Tucker Carlson from over a year ago. A weird cropped version emerged in court that was 1920 by 844 when that's not a resolution that exists. The version that was sent to the defense was not only compressed to, I think, 480 by 212, but it was also cropped. And it just so happens that ADA Krauss had video cropping software, specific cropping software, and video compression software for transcoding. Both were a little bit more versatile than that, but that's what they did. And then when they played the low-res video in court, Binger asked for the high res. He said, we have a clearer version, don't we? And then the judge was like, what? And the defense said, if you do, you didn't give it to us. And then Krauss says, no, it's just playing weird. No.
First he was like, yeah, we do. Mm-hmm. And then he said, no, it's just playing weird.
Which says to me that he realized, I'm caught.
Dodgy.
I need to downplay this and get people to forget, oh, no. And then they caught him. And they got away with it. But I'd love to do a deep dive exploring this, showing the software, showing how it worked. And then, you know, showing how all went down. A lot of people said when you send a high-res video through iPhone email, it'll compress it. The problem is that the file name also changed. Yeah. So it seems like he intentionally used the software to re-render the video and down-res it so that the defense couldn't formulate an argument against them.
And you don't get a compression from to 1920 by 844.
So yeah.
You get someone cropped both the 1920 and the 1080 get
that's
reduced
a specific crop.
Together.
Yeah.
Right. Well, no. Oh. The original.
Oh, okay. But 212.
The cropping software is also, it says D logo. Mm. So I think he took Tucker Carlson's footage. This is what I believe, and I could be wrong. He took the video from Tucker Carlson from the actual, Fox channel and then used Format Factory to remove the top, which had the Fox graphic.
Knocking it to 844.
Creating a weird resolution.
And then compressing it to
480 by 212. Which made it impossible for them to actually see. And the defense probably assumed, look, I can't see anything in this. There's no way the jury will either. And then they walk in and show them a slightly clearer version. So the defense couldn't say, we reviewed the video and gave it to our expert, and that's his arm clearly. The prosecution could easily go in and say, see his arm? It's pointed in the direction we said it was. The defense saw it and probably was like, they probably didn't notice until the judge tried to play it and played the wrong version. Anyway, that's my case, and I did a big thing about it, but I'd love to do a documentary. Vsidious 2 says, Anthony Hooper held his grandmother and brother at knife point, forcing them to clean a room, threatened to burn them alive, pledged to strangulation for what he did to his brother in that incident. Second was from attacking his sister. Not a good dude. Not a good dude.
Nope.
Not a good dude, indeed.
The least bad. Still bad.
I don't know. Gage Grosskreutz, what did he do? He smacked his grandma?
He's a jerk.
These guys were just kind of bad dudes. But I just don't like the idea that they lose their lives. I'm just not about that.
Gage didn't.
No, and if you can't empathize with them losing their lives, maybe empathize with the fact that Kyle was in a situation where he took their lives, not because he wanted to, and that's a tragedy as well.
Yeah.
Kyle Rittenhouse did not create those circumstances, and he's not responsible for how it went down. And I think it is sad, as much as I really dislike Grosskreutz, because this guy is an ideologue and all that stuff. These were just mindless guys who were running with the mob because they're just not smart enough. They're not independent enough. They just saw an angry mob and said, and their brain probably went into mob mode and said, okay. And then, but it doesn't matter how you feel about them. If you attack somebody, they have a right to defend themselves.
And let's just be real. The type of people that are going to be caught up in a riot in the beginning are not going to be like a very high caliber.
It's not a coincidence that they've all got some sort of criminal record.
Right. If you're the type of person to be sucked into, like, I'm going to go out in the street and cause chaos, you've probably done that before or some bad stuff before.
Mm-hmm. Gage Grosskreutz got another DUI in January, and it was dismissed, I believe, 6 days before the start of the trial on a technicality.
What a coincidence. Mm-hmm.
Wow. This last January?
In January of this year,
wow,
he got a DUI. And then 6 days before the trial, the prosecution dismissed it.
His second DUI.
His second.
Yeah.
How do you get two DUIs?
That means you lose your license like for a year or more with the second DUI. I think permanently or some long amount in Ohio at least.
Yeah, or they cut him a deal.
They definitely cut him a deal.
Yeah. Driving drunk is one of the most despicable things you could do. Yeah.
Here we go. AJ BRZ says, Gun Owners of America posted that they are rewarding Kyle with a new AR-15 for his defense of gun rights in America.
Oh, wow.
Justice has been served. By the way, Luke, I would buy a Karen 54 shirt. Yeah, I thought about that too, and I was like, I don't want to insult somebody who helped support justice.
Yeah,
I don't like that.
No, we should make a Juror 54 hero shirt.
100%.
With like a megaphone.
Yeah.
We don't know what happened until we find out. I think it's not good to jump to conclusions.
I don't I don't care what Juror 54 said on Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday. I don't care how frustrated anyone may have been by any argument. At the end of all of this, those jurors all came out and said, we believe in justice.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And they're all good people who did the right thing.
Yes,
I agree.
And sometimes jurors make the wrong decision. It doesn't mean they're bad people. Sometimes it's hard to know for sure. But these people all saw what everybody knew to be true and did the right thing. They're all good in my book.
Yeah.
So there you go. Jason Lindholm says, protest in Chicago, Fox 32 reporting. I hope everybody stays safe and stays warm.
Oh, wow.
That one free man says, Tim says Saul from the bottom, Luke says Saul from the top. Episodes or even a channel summarizing things. A comprehensive, compact history of chronological facts or events and individuals. People have short memories. This will wake people up. It is difficult, but I think it's a good point.
You do need both angles. That's true.
Yeah. Something original says, hi, Blair, you rock.
Thank you. Hi.
There you go. And Kevin Waite says, great discussion as usual, and Blair looks extra pretty tonight.
Thank you.
Everybody's super chatting around the same time, huh? All right, let's grab this one here from W. Walked off job today after my boss said it's because they're all white, meaning the jury. We spoke outside after, and she initially apologized for the racial remark, then spun to, there's no reason to be offended because it's true.
Mm.
I mean, I got to be honest, if it were me, I would actually file a discrimination. Well, I would file a complaint for, and this is what I say to people. If you're at work and they say something about white people disparagingly, I would file a complaint, and I would just say they made racially derogatory statements.
Yes. Don't even have to say it's white.
Yeah, I wouldn't get specific because it's irrelevant. And if I was at work, and I got to be honest, if I was at work and people started making racist comments about anybody, I'd be like, yo, I'm not down with that. I kind of don't want to be around that. So, you know, I'll file a complaint, whoever you're being racist against.
Yeah.
But people are worried about woke HR and stuff. Just say they made a racial comment that was disparaging towards a racial group. And when they say, which one, I'll be like, you will not make me repeat it. Yeah, and if you do, I'll file another complaint for you trying to get me to say racial slurs.
Whoa, yeah.
And they'll be like, okay. And they'll be like, they said it, I want it formalized.
People are trying so hard to inject race into this in general when everyone in the situation was white. And one of the people that died was yelling the N-word as a white person.
Yeah.
Like, stop trying to make this about race because it's not.
No, that, you could.
Damn
you,
white
you could.
Supremacy.
You could. Rosenbaum was racist.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was.
So we can say a young lifeguard from Kenosha was attacked by a virulent racist who threatened his life and he defended himself. Isn't it weird? Remember, who was the guy? Man, I forget his name. I remember his face. He was fired from Google after making that document.
Oh, James Damore.
James Damore, that's right. James Damore made a document about how to make the workplace better for women. And I'm not exaggerating. He basically said women and men work differently and perhaps we can all, you know, do these things to make things better. Perhaps women would thrive better if we designed the workplace around these, you know, certain behaviors. So they said he was sexist and they fired him. The crazy thing is, what he wrote is actually was actually the feminist narrative, that the workplace has been built by cis heteronormative patriarchy and it disadvantages women because women are different. And then he basically writes that, like, men like working analytically and women like working socially. And they were like, how dare you say that? And it's funny because that's the argument they make.
Mm-hmm.
Men created a male workplace that's harder, that's not, you know, equal for women or, you know. It's so weird. In this instance, Kyle Rittenhouse was attacked by a racist.
And a racist pedophile.
Mm-hmm. And he defended himself, and they took the side of the racist.
Yep.
Black Lives Matter took the side of the racist guy.
Yeah.
Don't get it.
That's because so many of them literally don't know he was white.
Yes.
Right.
Which is so sick.
Yep.
Or that he was racist.
Yeah.
To be honest. That he was literally a racist dude.
Yeah. I had my friend tell me it was a black protester, right? I'm like, no!
No, that is
not in any sense. Not even remotely. Half black.
To be honest, I don't know if he was racist, but I think it's fair to say that to a certain degree, running around yelling, you know, the N-word is like...
Yeah, that's not...
Not good.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It's like...
These people were asking to get popped. Let's just be honest.
Mm. Well...
He literally was. He said, shoot me.
We'll be very specific and say that's literally the truth. He kept saying, shoot me N-word over and over again.
Do they deserve it? I'm not going to say that. But what I am going to say is if you go behaving the way they were behaving, sometimes a natural consequence of that is someone gets mad. And if that person has a gun...
Let's be very specific.
Yes.
Don't attack people. You have no right to do that.
Yeah.
Violence is wrong always.
And you are actually literally correct. Rosenbaum said several times, shoot me and N-word. So it's like, this is why I think it's really important to discuss his mental state. And I tell people, like, I think he wanted to end his life.
Yeah.
Like, to attack someone like armed that way while yelling, shoot me.
Death
like,
by riot.
Yeah.
Other people have said this too. I'm not going to act like it's an original thought for me. Like, I've seen people saying, like, you know, he just got out of a mental hospital for a suicide attempt. And I'm like, this is like, the whole thing is, I want people to realize the whole thing is a tragedy.
Yes.
We're happy right now because Kyle Rittenhouse's life wasn't destroyed, but why did he go through the trial in the first
place?
Right.
It's a low bar to all of it.
Low bar to be happy about, right?
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
It still kind of worries me that the prosecution was able to get away with these crimes.
Oh, I feel the white pill's fading.
Yeah, I feel relieved.
It's getting grayer by the second.
Yeah.
But no. But like we're walking away from this happy, but we need to keep perspective on this. The battle is won, but the war is far.
I'm not happy, but I am relieved. I mean, I'm not happy just because how tragic it has been, but I do feel relief that justice seems to have played.
Okay, let's grab some super chats. We'll see what we got here in the mix. Scott Brumley says, Jesus was asked once to evoke the death penalty, John 8:1-11, with a woman caught in adultery. He shamed the accusers, then told the accused, go and sin no more. As a Christian, I cannot be pro-death penalty, I believe.
Hmm.
I don't know about a Christian perspective on it. My vision is just like, my view of it is, I want you to imagine your Kyle Rittenhouse after everything you went through. And you're sitting there in lockup, and they're not coming at you for life, they're saying death.
Mm.
and they walk up and say, we don't know. There's two deputies or marshals or whoever, you know, is coming to take you and transport you wherever you got to go, and you're about to be put on death row, and you're begging and pleading these two guys as they take you, like, I'm innocent. It's not true. Please. You have to understand. They're like, we don't care. The system said that you are guilty and now you will die. Hmm. And it happens. Innocent people get put to death.
Yes.
And regardless of that, there's a lot of innocent people who get released after decades of their lives being destroyed. I think the whole prison system is completely broken. I like the judicial system. It needs fixing in some areas. But then the way we imprison people, I'm like, you're not solving anything.
And a university for crime as well.
Right.
Yeah. You're making them
worse criminals. Yeah. Yeah. We were talking about this earlier in the car. Our whole prison system is absolutely deprived. I have to say this. I'm sorry. Bill Gates invests a lot into the private prison business. Bingo. Don't let me go off on the tangent, but I will. But the prison business, absolutely a horrible industry that creates worse criminals when they started off and when they got from. And it just punishes people and it's cruel. And
can we? Sorry, Luke. Yeah. Someone said looting going on now in Chicago. Do you guys want to grab your phones?
I haven't seen anything. I've been looking for it. I haven't been able to find anything to verify that, to be honest with you. I'm hearing about protests in Brooklyn, marches in Brooklyn, some alleged looting, but I haven't been able to verify that independently myself.
I think it's going to be a rowdy night, guys.
Supposed to be two BLM protests tomorrow in Chicago, according to the Sun-Times and ABC7Chicago.com.
Yeah. I haven't seen it. I'm not seeing anything.
Stay safe, everybody.
Says that it feels like 30 degrees out there.
Jeez. Yeah, but when you're running...
It's warm.
You give it 10 minutes of running through the streets.
Flood of fire.
I've covered protests in the winter, and it's true that they're fair weather activists, but you walk a few blocks carrying a backpack and you're getting hot. And so these people aren't going to notice the cold once they start moving. Mm. Do you guys see anything?
So there's some people
holding
signs that say reject racist vigilante terror.
Huh. I think we can all agree with that.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, yeah.
That's a pretty good statement, but if anyone's willing to prove that Kyle was racist, I'd love to hear that.
I thought he was talking about Rosenbaum the whole time.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, yeah. And Grosskreutz.
Yeah.
But if we can just stick with that sentiment.
Right.
Let's move as a
Isn't
union.
It weird?
Love it.
Like, I just got to stress that. Like, Kyle Rittenhouse was rendering aid to the protesters, and the racist guy who was screaming the N-word, they didn't care about. Like, the Black Lives Matter people are like, he's cool. And I'm like, he's standing there yelling the N-word. And
there was, like, a crowd. Do you remember when he was, like, screaming at the entire crowd around him? That might have been from the testimony. I want to hear from those people in the crowd.
I was in Portland a couple years ago, and there was a Proud Boys march, and Antifa showed up, and there was a black Proud Boy. And I was on the side of the street where the Proud Boys were, and across the street, Antifa were all screaming the N-word, like, hardcore.
Classy.
At him. And he got really mad. And he walked over to the crosswalk about to cross the street, and he was just standing upright, and another white Proud Boy walked up to him and was like, stop, don't let him get you, man. And then he hugged him and was like, you're my brother. These people don't matter. You're my brother. You are here. You're an American. And then they, like, you know, fist, you know, grabbed, and then he's like, come back. Don't let them provoke you. And I was like, how did I just watch Antifa scream racial slurs at a black dude?
But
to be honest, it happened with the ICE agents. Antifa showed up to an ICE facility screaming the N-word at black cops.
Yep.
They do it all the time.
I've had this happen to me. I've done multiple speaking events where Antifa has shown up, and maybe in the past when I was a little crazy, I'd go outside and maybe film interactions with them or whatever, and I've been called transphobic slurs by them, and I've been with my best friend who's of Cuban descent and also a little person, and they're the quickest ones to call him the M-word, which is the slur for little people, and make racist comments towards him. They're the first ones to do it. They're so full of hate. These are not good people, and they're not ideologically consistent people.
Did you see the Andy No lookalike video? Where
they thought it was him.
Yeah.
They thought it was Andy No? They go, what, because I'm Korean?
There's more than one. There's more than one incident where a random guy was accused of being Andy No because they were just an Asian person.
Oh. And as he was walking along, someone turns, shouts at him, says, are you Andy No? And he goes, no, obviously not. This happens all the time. This is really, really insulting.
Wow.
And one of the people that stood next to the person holding the camera goes, kind of seems like you're doing it on purpose. He's like, what?
Just being my race.
Being Asian?
My God. But that's the thing, though. These people, they are, you know, maybe it's a cliche to say, but they're the actual racists. They view anything and everything through the lens of race. They project, and they are actually the ones doing it.
Legit. Yep. They're the ones that are segregating.
All the time. 100%.
There was a post, I think it was by James Lindsay, of Nazis holding signs that say woke on them. In German.
Yeah,
and I saw him post it, and he said this is the word for woke or awaken, and I was like, no.
Wow.
I looked it up.
Great.
Wow. It's real. I looked up the history. I was like,
what?
Yeah.
What does that tell you?
It's scary, man. It's scary. All right, let's see. Oh, here we go. This is a good one. We'll do a couple more. This is Ash Genova says, fully respect this jury. They made a decision based on the facts they were given and the law. They didn't let the mob intimidate them into a verdict. Didn't have much faith in them. I stand corrected. Hear, hear.
Amen.
Yeah.
I was worried about this. I was like, they're driving into this with blacked out windows, hearing these protests. And then in the end, they said, what's right is right. Bravo.
Also, the judge, I think, gave them a lot of confidence to do what was right.
Yeah.
He was very encouraging.
You know, there's not many judges like that. They're going to be around for very long.
Yeah.
That's right.
And he's a man who's older.
Binger will become a judge.
Bruce. Oof.
How dare you? Right.
You think so? After that performance?
Yes, he will.
Oh, he's so condescending.
Because conservatives don't have ground game. George Soros funds a lot of organizations. They provide a lot of money to these DAs. And I can't remember who we were talking to, but they said you only need a couple grand to win a DA's race in certain jurisdictions.
Yeah.
Conservatives don't have that ground game. Libertarians definitely don't.
I love Bruce because he didn't seem political. He was just like, you guys, look at the facts and shut your mouth. Like, he would, man, did he control that room?
Yes, he did.
Yeah. He was a great judge.
All right, we'll take, I'll read this one here. Raymond G. Stanley Jr. says, watch Rosenbaum get a statue.
Oh my gosh. Well, then can we push it over?
No, we can't. Because here's my attitude. People are allowed to have their statues. And I'm glad they build it. You know why? Because then we can know exactly who they are. Let them put up their effigies and their idols. They're allowed to have their property. They're allowed to say what they want to say. And I know to stay away from them when they do.
Mm, yeah.
Okay, those people are creepy.
I saw Cernovich tweet earlier, if you blow a bubble into a leftist protest, you're going to hit a pedophile. It's like, why do these people always have these horrible backgrounds and they're always the ones being defended by the left? It's so sick.
Yeah.
All right, we'll take this last one. Christina H. says, hey, Luke, I ordered 2 shirts and only received 1. What do I do?
You go to the Teesprings website and you say, what in the world did you do? And they have an email and they fix problems very rapidly.
They're good, yeah.
They work with independent shirt makers from all across the country. Some of them are good. Some of them are not good. If there's any problems, even if your design starts to wear a little bit, you could get a new shirt. If they mixed up your order, send them an email and they will make it right for you. And thank you for ordering the shirts on thebestpoliticalshirts.com. Really,
and she goes on to say, thank you. Also, Tim, the Step on Sneck shirt is so comfy.
Yes. Oh.
Our latest shirt is Step on Sneck and Find Out. And there's this cute little angry snake. You can go to timcast.com in the store and pick it up.
Dumb angry
YouTube snake. Hasn't approved it yet. Yeah, I don't know why.
It's a good shirt.
It's been up for a couple weeks.
Best shirt.
So
approve it.
So it would if YouTube approves it, we can pin it and then show
it's
it. But otherwise,
like 3 weeks. I'm
right?
mad. What
but
the heck?
I'm really excited to get it. We ordered every size, a couple. We'll give some out and stuff like that. And I'm really excited to get it. It's a funny little shirt.
YouTube doesn't approve any of my t-shirts.
You got spicy t-shirts that I'm like.
I just like Brandon.
Hold on. Luke walks in to go on the show, and I'm like, Luke, are you seriously going to wear that? And you're like, what? What's about? I'm like, come on, man.
Like, we're already going to get in trouble.
I can't
for
even
this.
Describe to you what some of these shirts are, but you
spicy.
Can go.
I can't wear them. I can't even promote some of these on social media. I can't. Like, some of the shirts, you haven't seen the worst of it. This is mild. Okay, I go extra spicy on the bestpoliticalshirts.com, and I don't even wear, I don't even share it on social media. You just have to go to the website to see what I got.
All right, everybody. It's Friday night. We don't do the members only on Fridays, but we do have the green room up at timcast.com. So go there, become a member, and you'll get the behind the scenes. Normally, the green room is like, as guests are waiting, we hang out. But this is like, we're in the mobile studio, so people are coming in. Like, Alex Jones walked in, and he's like, what are you guys doing? And I'm like, what are you doing here? Like, but check it out. It's a lot of fun. And that's up right now over at TimCast.com. So become a member. Help support our work. You can follow the show at TimCastIRL. You can follow me personally at TimCast. I think we're all going to have a big get-together and have some drinks and on the rare occasion that I do. And maybe some tacos or something. Do you guys want to shout out anything?
Yeah, subscribe to me on YouTube. My YouTube channel is youtube.com/BlairWhiteX. There's an E at the end of Blair. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram under MS Blair White. That's Ms. Blair White. And have fun looking at all my stuff.
Follow me on YouTube, Chris Williamson, and Twitter and Instagram is at ChrisWillX.
And what's your podcast?
Modern Wisdom.
Yes. Yep.
Apple awesome. Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen, search Modern Wisdom. 400th episode goes up tomorrow.
Oh, nice.
Nice.
Very cool.
Cool.
Thank you.
Lots of crazy stuff happening around the world right now, especially with vaccine mandates, lockdowns. I covered all of it, plus a lot more, on my YouTube channel on We Are Change. There's a lot of big protests expected in Austria tomorrow. I'm going to be covering that on my social media, which is usually Luke, We Are Change. But the YouTube channel is the main place. Hope to see some of you guys there.
Yeah, move forward with forgiveness when applicable, for the most part. I love you. Thanks for coming. Have a great weekend. Be safe.
Share pizza with each other.
That's
right.
Or tacos. That video, it was, I think, I'm pretty sure it was a Black Lives Matter protester who ordered pizzas and then shared them with the Rittenhouse supporters. And he said, I appreciate you. I support you. Or like,
that's beautiful.
We disagree. And I'm like, I'm all about that.
Pizza heals wounds.
That's why I think Daryl Davis is awesome. He's a great guy.
Yeah. And I'm also here. Thank you guys very much for tuning in. And I would say to take this optimism that we got today and to carry it forward and to not lose our momentum, because good things can happen, but it is going to take a lot of work. And we can't always depend on a lucky outcome. Like, we were very fortunate with this jury. So you guys may follow me on Twitter at Sarah Patch Lids.
Yes, I think ma'am. We normally do, but I can announce this too. I think, well, maybe I shouldn't say too much, but I'm going to be doing an interview with Alex Jones tomorrow exclusively for TimCast.com about very serious issues. Nice. It's not going to be a podcast. It's not going to be like news conversational. It's going to be about specific issues directly related. And I don't want to say too much, but it's going to be more of a straightforward interview that we're going to have a conversation about some serious issues. So make sure you tune in to TimCast.com. I think that actually it might end up going up on Sunday so that we can get it, produced and up with like an article explaining the news going around it. But it's going to have a lot to do with what's going on with the lawsuit, the defamation suit, and we're going to have that exclusive interview. So help support our work in doing so at TimCast.com. Thank you so much for hanging out on this amazing Friday night. We're going to go relax. It's been a busy week, and I am eternally grateful to each and every one of you who watch the show, who are members, and who just believe in freedom, liberty, and by sharing and being involved and even just watching, you're helping. And we can all, keep the conversation going. Thanks for hanging out. We'll see you all next time.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.